What do you do when multiple studios creating new and remastered content for a single IP starts running dry? You add a level of recursion. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War sets the stage for a future Call of Duty Ultimate World of Warfare 5 Zombie Aliens. I just bought 33 titles and one remaster in name in less than 2 decades is astounding and might give Mario a run for his money. At least one of your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, has deep knowledge of one of the Call of Duty titles.
It's Loki, by the way.
And they'll talk about this game and the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
My friends out there on the internet, welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, back again tonight with episode number 833 for this August the 23rd of 2020. Joining me tonight via the magic of Discord, we used to love doing this show in the same room as we did for many, many years, but be that that is may with the state of the world, we're taping over Discord. So joining me on Discord, down below there, is Techmaster Loki. Hi, Techmaster Loki. How are you?
Hello.
Good to see you.
I'm pretty good.
All right. Yeah. Good, good. And you're playing The Secret of Monkey Island, or somebody else is?
I'm not playing anything. Yeah, it's a long play of The Secret of Monkey Island.
It's a good choice. It's a good choice for your backdrop tonight. Appreciate that. All right. And a big welcome back tonight to Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers up there.
Sorry, I'm Vegeta tonight. I'm Space Dad. I'm kidding.
Looking fabulous with your wig, as always.
Yeah, I don't know if I like this one. It needs some like zhuzh. This is fresh out of the box, Cher style, he may cut, you know.
It's got a little bit of that Danganronpa bear vibe to it with the whole, like, black and white.
Monokuma. Actually, Monokuma. Pink and white. It's pink and black.
It looks a little, with, you know, because your camera is a little, you know, older, so I think it looks a little more like white.
It's actually not older, it's fucking cheaper.
Oh, okay. Well, you said it, I didn't.
Hey, I'll admit it. Thanks, Wish. Thanks for my $5 web cameo.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you have to make cheap things work. And on a somewhat related note, this isn't about video games, but Dark Soccer and I, you guys know, we love to talk about drag. And actually, I would argue in some ways video games can be a form of drag, especially like MMOs and role play and
it's
fleshing out your character. It's all drag. Anyway,
we're all born naked and the rest is drag, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But I would be remiss not to.
And I do drag.
You do. You do.
As a nun. I did drag.
I did once for a stage play. One time. But anyway, I would be, on a serious note, I would be remiss not to say anything about the passing of Chi-Chi Devane this week. And I wouldn't expect all of our listeners recognize that name. But anybody that has a familiarity with RuPaul's Drag Race, or heck, the pageant scene and the Southern drag scene, most certainly knows the Louisiana Queen of the Bayou, Chi-Chi Devane, who unfortunately left this earth this week at the age of 34. Not COVID, and I feel weird. I have to say that
it was
up front.
Like pneumonia resulting from previous kidney failure.
Yeah, it was pneumonia due to her prior existing health conditions. But obviously, 34 is way too young of an age. But you know,
it really is.
I cracked a little line there about sometimes you have to make cheap things work, and I think that's something that, you know, that was a presence that Chi-Chi brought to the show, was that
she came out in garbage bags both times.
She didn't have a huge budget, but she made it work, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that was a great value that we could take from somebody like that.
I will go on record that her lip sync in the first season was my second favorite ever Drag Race lip sync. My first favorite being the Raja and Jujubee.
Right.
When they did dancing on my own and started crying.
Raven and Jujubee. That's
what. That was Raven, sorry. I always think of Raven and Raja, so, you know.
Tribute. But yeah, I just wanted to tip my hat and acknowledge that. I mean, it's just a horrible loss for that community, and you know, just send our well wishes to her family and her friends. And you know, one of the big lines that we get from Drag Race is that, you know, we get to choose our family, and so there are many, many, many people. I'm sure Chi-Chi had no shortage of brothers and sisters and cousins and so forth. So I'm sure a lot of people really, really feeling a hole in their heart this week. So.
Well, and on top of that, for me, I mean, she was from Shreveport, Louisiana, where mm-hmm. I would spend, I mean, I've been to, shout out to CoastCon in Shreveport. Mm-hmm. You know, I would go to CoastCon a few times when I was in my con circuit in Alabama. And it was just really nice seeing someone kind of from my edge of the swamp, as I like to say. And I was really, I was rooting for her all season.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
You know, she's up there in my top tier of queens. She was just so much fun, and it felt really nice to see, you know, a deep South queen, you know, that wasn't from Texas.
And admittedly, if you were to go back and listen to older episodes of Reading is Fundamental, which was a show I did about that show, I was a little harder on her. But, you know, she was slaying all my faves in those lip syncs. So maybe I was just a little bit bitter. I don't know.
That upside down lip sync.
Yeah, yeah. But you can also recognize a TV show is very, very different from a person. And just as a person, certainly, whatever your thoughts about that little contest that's televised, just a really wonderful, sweet person that was just genuine and in it for all the right reasons. It's great.
Yeah, she was really, really, I mean, she was great to meet in person. So she was a delight.
All right. Rest in power, my friend. All right, let's move on, though. We do want to get into talking about what is going on with video games and that industry that we love to take our minds off of all the horrors of the real world and all of these horrible passings before their time and fires burning nearby, which, by the way, OLR is nowhere near that. We're only feeling the effects of the smoke, which is, but I mean, we're all staying indoors anyway, so.
Although I heard we did have a brush fire not far from my house.
Oh, no.
I'll go ahead and say it because nobody except from here is going to know where it is, but off of Franklin.
There was
apparently a grass fire, and that's what shot out into my area and your area to make it worse.
That's where my uncle lives. I hope everything is okay. I'm just finding that out now. So I will have to investigate that. And that's all very rural out there. That's like Hood Franklin Road, right? Because I always joked my uncle was from the Hood, because you go one way off that street to go to Hood, and there is literally a town called Hood, and another way to go to Franklin. Wow. Okay.
But I'm in, I would say, probably one of the nicer areas off of Franklin, over in Elk Grove. So.
Yeah, well, you're actually in, like, populated area.
Yeah. Not in the countryside of Elk Grove, because we do have a countryside.
But the countryside is where, So, anyway, okay.
Yeah. But it's pretty nasty outside. This is the first time I've come close to having an asthma attack since I got over the pneumonia.
Yeah, it was really nasty outside. No outdoor gaming for me today, that's for sure.
Ash in the air.
Let's get into the kickoff topic, though. And Loki, I'll ask you to kind of lead us on this topic. This has to do a little more with gaming culture, I suppose. This is kind of a Twitch-related topic, but as we're using Twitch to come together and play games online, I think more so than ever with everything that's going on in the world, this certainly still relates to our industry, right?
Yeah, it's kind of it's sad to see something like this. I'm sure that the company I don't even know how you pronounce this Ogilvy, doesn't matter, some media company, a marketing company that was working with Burger King, did this campaign called the King of Stream.
Ogilvy.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't want to put any effort into getting that right, since their campaign was very low effort as well.
We're about to drag them and expose them, so it doesn't matter if we get it right.
So it doesn't matter. So what they did was, you may know, watching several Twitch streamers, you may know that some streamers will have kind of a voice to chat, text-to-speech type thing when they receive donations. And it'll have like a little message when you typed out with the donation and stuff, and it'll read it.
SSJ 100 Matt has subscribed for 3 months and says, shout out to Clicky the Pen. I think your show is great. LOL, Mr. Smush, meow meow.
Which is why we don't do that on our show, because that would be a train wreck.
Right. And I don't want to shade anybody that does that. You do what works for you. And like for accessibility reasons too, that could be a damn useful plugin. So, but obviously we're trying to, but it's worth saying we're trying to do a podcast that, you know, and that's why we don't do the typical acknowledgments of subs and everything until the very, very, very end of the show after we end the recording. And it's not that we don't appreciate it any less. It's just, we realize that, unfortunately, this is like I can now use this as something to point to and go, this is why we don't do it.
So what they did is they created a bot or did something where they found certain streamers that had very minimal like setup, basically just like a headshot that they could crop out and gameplay, none of the like complicated interfaces and everything that they would have normally on there, and then they use this text speech functionality to post advertisements for Burger King on these streams, and then they capture that as part of their web campaign, which is ridiculous because there's so many things wrong with that. With, you know, different streamers may have deals with certain brands and that may go against those deals. Also, you know, a lot of these folks, if you want to advertise on their streams, I'm sure that they would love to be able to work out some sort of marketing deal that would certainly be worth more than $5. And so
a perfect example, just to give a tangible example of that, there was a whole Subway promotion through Twitch not that long ago where Subway was basically like, I think they were like absorbing some of the cost of subs or something where people were, I think we were getting the whole $5 for a sub as opposed to $2.50 because, and get it, sub, because what Subway is. How you do it, right? A dumb little dad joke there to tie it together. And that's, I mean, somebody in chat probably remembers the details better than I do, but that was through Twitch, official, everybody kind of knew it. We all know the rules, and it was a much better, I think, promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there were, and originally when I saw this video, I thought it was faked. Because the gameplay that they show behind everything is obviously fake.
That's what I thought too. None of those games were real. I couldn't figure none
however,
of those games.
Though, what they did is they superimpose the actual live stream of the actual Twitch streamer, and they put it on fake gameplay. But it's actually real reactions and everything. And there was a few of the Twitch streamers actually had posted like the actual video from their streams showing this happening and like having like what they've cut out of it and stuff. But it's really shady. It's a terrible campaign. I thought originally they did it just as kind of like, I thought it was faked, and I thought they did it for like outrage marketing type of thing.
There's a lot of people thinking that in the beginning. Yeah.
But apparently no, it was actual streamers, just a lot of, smaller streamers, which that's horrible though. Like it's just exploiting them. So yeah. I think that this is fair game then. As long as I drop $5 for, you know, a sandwich or something over there, I'm allowed to put whatever advertisements I want in their store. that it's basically they've set the precedent, so I'm allowed to do that now.
You are allowed to stand
sticky notes.
You are allowed to stand up on the counter and scream whatever advertisement you want. Unfortunately, that may involve you getting escorted out of the store, but, you know, well, and plus in these days and times, you're not really eating inside the store anyway, but, you know, I digress.
There was a video like one of the streamers, Rubber Ninja, had posted a video on Twitch. He was playing Mario Maker 2, and it was showing, you know, kind of it, that part wasn't included in their campaign, but he got one of those messages, and so he posted that and to see, you know, kind of his reaction to it as well. So it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of a low blow, but I think it's also, I mean, this is a chance for the streaming community to also kind of like learn something from this and be cautious about this, because there was a really good comment, and I have yet to acknowledge and welcome the chat room. I'm sorry, guys, but we were doing an important dedication at the top of the show, so I do want to say hello to the chat, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, Voice of Geeks Network, and there's some really good comments in here. For example, No One Special 77 starts off with a comment saying TTS or text to speech can too easily be abused, to be honest. Sure as shit, some shithead would use TTS to say something racist or otherwise disgusting. And yes, because that sort of thing happened right here on OLR, right here, like 3 weeks ago. Remember that? We had all those people that suddenly started watching, and they all had nasty names that I wouldn't read on air. But because we have the thing that ticks across the bottom, some of those names got out. And I'm sorry about that. That was a learning experience for us. And now I've learned how to shut that off instantly. So if a name like that sneaks through, you better believe you're only going to see one. So you're right. That kind of stuff can be abused. And I think this is a good wake up call for all the streamers out there who are using that text to speech plugin. Do they maybe want to keep using it? And again, you have to do what works for you, but maybe there would be like a filter or I don't know. Well, you have to use a mod team or something.
Yeah, I would think with some of that, I'm not sure about the text-to-speech stuff, but I think with the donations, I'm sure there's some sort of chat filters and stuff, much like how there's moderation. I would assume that functionality still exists. And if that type of thing was kind of being exploited, granted, they can set the minimums on those donations to be read out, I think. And that's what the bot was doing. It was bidding the minimum. So $5 was one of the more expensive ones, but I think in the video they had like $1 and $3. So you're getting a $1 advertisement. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. And I could see like maybe if they did that like after like contacting these people to do some sort of agreement. But there's no sponsorship. It wasn't disclosed that it was a sponsorship deal or anything like that, because it wasn't. It was just like basically this guerrilla ad. And I'm worried that if this is successful, we're going to see a lot more abuse of this type of thing. I don't know. I guess if you're getting money, you might not care. I mean, especially if you're a smaller streamer, but
yeah,
like it's still kind of shady though. It's like, well, and they even had in the video, like they kind of pointed out, it's like, well, are you going to just, are we going to do like a brand deal or something? Are we going to, you're going to sponsor me, or are you just going to, do this nonsense? To clarify, though, I see that there was a clarification on the article here saying that apparently David Madrid ran the campaign, not necessarily Ogilvy, but not their main team. I guess they're associated somehow, this David.
Whatever. Shame on you, whoever you are.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just it's irritating, though, that they would do this. Mm-hmm. And
but unsurprising.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I haven't seen has Burger King come out to even like say anything about this? And like,
not yet, but when did this break? Friday? It might not be out till Monday.
Yeah, where's this? Like, because this is like kind of, I think there, it wasn't like Burger King tweeting this out. It was this ad campaign.
No, it was the ad campaign.
So I'm wondering where this is even going to be used.
And SSJ100 Matt says, shame on them for signing off on it, talking about the burger chain, saying because ultimately they had to sign off on it because they had to approve the use of their image. You know, this particular burger chain, and again, I hate giving them free advertising on the show, but it is worth mentioning, I suppose. This chain has thought outside the box with the gaming industry a couple of times. Because, yes, this was crap, and I think we all agree this particular campaign was crap, but let's not forget this was the same group, or I don't know who did this ad campaign, but they did that genius Xbox 360 thing. I mean, that grant was probably like 10 years ago at this point, but that was what brought us the Sneak King and the bumper car game and all that stuff that was actually, that was rad, and we all loved that. So I think it is worth saying not every idea that Burger Chain has been awful. This one is, but it's a little bit, I guess, maybe less surprising to hear they're trying to come up with these crazy ideas when you look at the track record that they've done it before.
Yeah. Like, and I would say like, if you want to even talk about more recent success in kind of advertising like that, look at KFC and what they're doing, like putting out fake games and stuff like that. I would love a new set of Burger King games, to be honest, even how cringy those were before. That's what made them great. Like, come on, put some more of those out again. Like, I'm surprised that we don't see something like that or, like a live stream where the king is playing games or something like that. Cause I think they even do that with like Chuck E. Cheese or something like that.
Yeah.
They have that kind of thing now. So it's like, do something like that. Like, just like lean full into that kind of stuff, because that would be funny, and I think would give them more attention rather than we're going to exploit some people. I mean, that.
Orange Riot in chat says they also did that one commercial where they try to get people's. I've learned not to say these words on air, so I'm going to spell it A-L-E-X-A's to tell you what the where the big bird or what the big burger was or whatever it is. So basically,
you say virtual assistant.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hey, virtual assistant, you know, tell me about this. And then the device goes off. And I've had people email this show saying you need to stop saying things like. And those things, because my virtual assistant actually responded to it, and I'm like,
Rob, I know what we do. We call them Hal.
Close the
like
pod bay doors. Yeah,
I'm
right.
Sorry, I can't do that, Rob.
The next time I get a pet, I'm going to name it one of those.
No, don't apologize, Orange Right. It was a good comment. I those are the types of things I have to filter, is that, oh, yes, I can't say A-L-E-X-A, or it's actually going to activate somebody's device. And it's so funny. So you guys all know,
you
like,
you could completely mispronounce it.
Oh, yeah, I could. That's a good idea.
Like,
okay,
call it Axela.
Yeah, Axela. Okay, so.
Axela.
I still think, though, like, sometimes
and,
that will fill that up.
And Reese. And Reese.
My dad, as you know, I've been talking about the issues he's been going through. He had a stroke a few weeks ago, and I'm really happy to report that he's made a virtual full recovery, because, like, the physical therapist actually even signed off, like, I have no need to come back. You're doing fine. But my point is, he got an Alexa. Well, I'm sorry if I just activated it. I guess it was too close to the real thing. Axela, sorry. But he just got one of those. And, like, I was over there visiting, and he was like, well, you know, the... And he points at it. He goes, the A-L-E-X-A. But now he's actually kind of using it for things. But the point to get him one of those was it's kind of like the modern equivalent of the I've fallen and I can't get up. Is that if something happens to him, he can say, you know who, call an ambulance, basically. So anyway. Oh, Questbuster says, how about... basically getting to this point, how about Axlay, one of the greatest Super Nintendo shooters? We can call it Axlay. I like that. Point for you. All right. Anything else to say about this crappy Twitch campaign, and which Twitch is not involved with? Twitch is merely the mechanism being used to deliver it. And it's pretty shady, but I think a lot of streamers now are probably going to be evaluating, do I want this? Because do I want to be taken advantage by this? So,
yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but like, I'm surprised it hasn't been done sooner.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It is kind of surprising we haven't seen it sooner. So, all right, well, let's talk a little bit about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So Dark Soccer, I'll start with you. You have 2 weeks if you want.
It's really just been Animal Crossing, and I finally beat my stupid word find game. Like, I did 1,500 puzzles in it. I played Orna. I touched it.
Did you really? Once. Congrats.
I did. I did some stuff in it, and, you know, I was also intoxicated. But I've really need to get back to The Last of Us. It's just that with, you know, I've got some behind the scenes crap going on, medical stuff. So I haven't really had like a whole lot of time. And then when I have had time, I've just been really tired. So, but we did bust out the Saturn, and nice. Dan was playing Elevator Action Returns, which, you know, he loves that game. And so I'm thinking about busting out Grandia again, but I found a place that applies the English translation patch, and I don't think I would need to use a modded Saturn for it. So I have to check, but I was going to see about maybe getting the translated Saturn Grandia, because it blows the PlayStation 1 out of the water. You know, the PlayStation 1 doesn't do like the same scaling. The aspect ratio is a little bit different. The graphics are not as good, believe it or not, for 3D. And I've also been looking at picking up some of those Dreamcast titles, the after release ones. So I'm doing a little bit of perusing, but We've also got other tech stuff on hand, so you're going to be seeing a lot more Apple Arcade stuff coming for me. I have been playing a lot of Patterned, but and I'll go ahead and say this. Dan and I, our 15th wedding anniversary comes up on September 1st.
Oh, wow. That's right. It's around the corner.
Mm-hmm. And since we're not going to New Orleans like the initial plan was, because I have some places to take him. That's my old stomping grounds. So instead, we took advantage of some situations, and we bought iPad Pros for ourselves.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he needs the cellular one. I need a bigger hard drive, so we got him a smaller cellular one. We got me the bigger hard drive one. I accidentally ordered 2 Apple Pencils. Oops. But for me, I'm going to use it as a graphics tablet, but I want to start doing a little bit more gaming on it, just because I really think that tablet gaming is absolutely the way that a lot of portable gaming is going to go.
Sure.
You know, we've got, a lot of us have Switches, and playing that portable, that's great, but we already knew Sony took their stab at it and it went, I didn't mean that to be so loud. I'm going to put a little bit more into the other types of portable gaming and maybe give some more reports on it.
I would say if Sony went, but it's only because Sony didn't invest in it long enough. Like, I just, yeah. And there were just a few key mistakes they made that really felt like they were detached from it. But I mean, the hardware, the PSP was a great device, and so was the Vita.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were great devices. They just, they just made a few, like, really key errors that were catastrophes.
I'll tell you, with the Vita, I actually like some of the games on it so much that I just got a PSTV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got the PSTV so I could play Danganronpa Ultra Despair Girls, and then there was that Tempest thing that was by the guy that made Tempest 2000.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of good games that I could just play on my PSTV that were absolutely wonderful. I actually do gaming now a little bit on my Apple TV. I have the SteelSeries Bluetooth controller, and I've been playing Patterned on that. I fucking love Patterned. Sonic CD.
I just have to jump in here. This is a great point that Bobby Blackwolf is saying in chat, saying I'm considering getting a Samsung Galaxy Tab for Project X Cloud. And that's a really good point, is that now you have a lot of, like, these streaming things that are, you know, going. So it's like a tablet can still let you play console games. Now, I do understand there's issues with the whole Apple App Store and the Microsoft platform and the Google Stadia and all that. I kind of tend to be on the side of it will get worked out in the end, because Netflix is there, CBS All Access is there, Spotify is there, and where all that stuff came through, I do feel like it will come through eventually. It's just going to take a little time, I think. And so even on those devices you named...
No comment.
I know. Even on those devices you named, you can potentially in the future play some type of streaming from a console.
Yeah, but I only really care about the stuff I get in Apple Arcade. I kind of want to keep those aspects separate. Mm-hmm. And actually, I did play another game. I'm in a beta. I am in a beta for a game called Roll. It's put out by... Hold on, I'm trying to find it again. But yeah, I'm in a beta called Roll. It's kind of like a build-a-deck sort of card game with dice, and I haven't quite gotten the hang of it. I think the rules are a little confusing of it, but I'm doing it through the iPhone beta testing software. I've got access to it, so I've been really enjoying trying to get it the fuck figured out. It's a really pretty game, just, you know, it's called Roll for the Galaxy, sorry. For those who are watching, that's what my screen looks like. Huh. So it's pretty neat so far. I'm kind of digging it once I can, you know, get it better figured out. And I kind of miss this card game. So yeah, that's the other thing I'm playing.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, we love Roll for the Galaxy. And SG1 Matt is like, can you talk about it? Like, is this actually something you're allowed to talk about right now?
Yeah, this stuff, it's like a public beta. Now, the version I'm playing, I have to go through the beta testing app because the full version isn't out. But yeah, Bobby, I'm going to have to pick your brain for like how to make this work. So, because I'm no good at it. I haven't really got the concept of it yet. So I might pick your brain about it.
All right. Loki, do you want to go next?
Sure. So I played a little bit of Orna this week. I've been mainly just watching tutorials online for different game dev things. I've been really focusing on a specific area, and so I've been doing that. Yeah, that's all I can really say about that right now. And then what else? I have a little bit of Minecraft. I played a little bit of Minecraft this week, and I think that's about it. Yeah.
All right. Then I'll talk about my gaming week. So for my gaming week, a lot of the same stuff. Still been playing Final Fantasy 14, because I always do. And they brought back the Yo-Kai Watch crossover event. So I was working on that, and I got one of my mounts for getting all the minions. So that's cool. It was really hard to understand how that stupid event works, because you have to, like, you use an item to get these medals. You use the medals to buy minions. You use the minions to get certain weapons, but you have to be in certain zones to get them. If it sounds complicated, that's because it is. But thanks to the lovely community, there's some infographics that really helped break it down and explain it a little better. So I got through it. So I'm up to having like three of those weapons. Yeah. Let's see, what else did I play this week, as far as like old stuff? You know, the old standby stuff before the fires got crazy, between Ingress and Orna. I hit 193 today, level 193 in Orna. It really, like, you can get through those first 100 levels pretty quick, and then it really starts to ramp up. Like, the crawl from 175 to now has been very, very slow. But that's good game design, honestly, because, you don't want it to, you know, you don't want it to be a rush to the end and then there's nothing to do because you're at the end and you're the most powerful player in the entire world. A new game I played this week. So, yes, I forced myself to play something new. I bought this game based on all the positive things I was hearing about it when it showed up at a Nintendo event earlier this week, which we'll talk about later on in the show. You might have pieced it together. The game I bought on PC is called Hades. And it is from Supergiant Games, who did Bastion was like their big game, and they did what was the other game called? Pyre, and there was one other one too. What's that, Loki? You're muted.
I was gonna say you didn't have it for free on the Epic Game Store, because that was one of the first games that they offered.
No, I think I missed it whenever they gave it away on the Epic Game Store. So I just bought it on Steam, whatever. I'm all about kicking some coin to the developer. So I've been playing it on Steam, and it's neat because it's kind of like a roguelike, but it's a very kind of like cartoony looking game, but like in a cool way. And it really, like, my computer's a couple years old. It runs really smooth, and it was just a really fluid, I think that's a good way to describe it, really like kind of like fluid type of action style game. And yeah, I was enjoying it. You know, I kind of had to figure it out, like how to do everything, but I suppose sometimes games kind of make you do that. So that's a game on PC that I've heard a lot of great things about from friends, because I know they were very hyped when they announced the Switch version was coming and it was going to carry over your progress from the PC. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, so I checked it out. So, all right, that was my gaming week. So, that's it. Let's get into some other gaming news. All right. How about Loki? You want to start us off with some gaming news?
Yes. So there's always some sort of controversy going on. And now, of course, we have E3 having to apologize. So the E3 Twitter account, which is owned by the ESA, of course, they had tweeted out, news is slow, so let's tweet out something to keep our engagement up. So they had great list of games women gamers are playing. Any of your favorites making the cut? And it was from an article by Parade, which included a bunch of games, just like kind of cliche games, I guess. But they had like, you know, some ridiculous stuff like Bejeweled Classic, because diamonds are a girl's best friend. Am I right, ladies?
Yeah.
Just kind of, sexist stuff in there. And apparently,
the article was written by a woman, but, you know, and it maybe was her.
Ingrained sexism right there.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm not excusing it, but I think it is a point that you have to say. It was definitely, like, it might have been her 25 favorite games, which is fine. And whatever reason she liked those games, great. But to project that on everyone else is ridiculous. Anyway, I'm sorry, Loki. I'll let you finish.
No, no, and from my understanding, that the woman who wrote the article, actually, I don't know if she was very familiar with gaming in general, because she had posted a tweet earlier that was saying, "Hey, I'm writing this article about gaming. Anybody can help me out with this?" And no responses. So maybe this was just kind of searching the internet for, you know, taking other top 10 lists or something and kind of compiling that together. I don't know. It seems like kind of the filler piece that you would put out, you know, slow news type thing.
Which is exactly what Parade is, by the way. It's that insert in the Sunday newspaper. That's what Parade is, literally. Yeah. So, yeah, it's literally filler content.
So, yeah, so of course people were upset because, you know, it's a lot of cliches were in there and stuff. And I don't know, instead of... Personally, like, I would have been like, yeah, okay, bad article's bad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just look at the source. Just like, okay, well, these people aren't necessarily... It's not like Kotaku writing an article, yes, you know, the top games or whatever.
I don't go to Parade for my gaming news. Yes.
Exactly. So it's
this
like,
is the type of article I might actually expect out of Parade, to be quite honest.
I don't know if we would necessarily, like, need to jump down their throat. Perhaps, you know, ESA should have known better. I mean, maybe you get better people, you know, some folks that are better doing the social media thing, you know, that instead of just randomly tweeting stuff out, maybe, you know, look over the links that you're, you know, make sure that the content doesn't seem like it's going to be something that you would want to offend a group of people with. You know, like, I don't know.
To make the problem with this very clear, it's not the fact that the article exists that's a problem, because again, it's this, you know, it's just, it's some, you know, filler piece that was written by Parade. It's the fact that E3 amplified it, that they used their social medias and their account to amplify it and basically say, this is representative of women in gaming. That is a huge problem. Huge problem. And, you know, and I almost wonder, you know, we brought up Drag Race earlier in the show, and I'm sorry, not sorry, but I'm going to use another reference because I think it actually fucking applies here. Dark Sakura, do you remember when RuPaul got in a lot of trouble because of some of the, and still is in trouble, really, because of the poor trans representation on RuPaul's Drag Race? I mean, granted, we've had Gia Gunn and things like that. You're muted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just noticed. Yeah, no, that's terrible. That's some bullshit.
Do you remember when RuPaul, in an attempt to save a little face, went to her Twitter account and wrote a tweet saying, the only criteria to be on our show is that you have charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, and then posted a flag. And do you know what flag that RuPaul posted on her Twitter account?
I do not remember that.
It was a trains flag.
What?
The bitch went to Google and Googled trains flag. TRAINS flag.
I'm going to have to look that bullshit up because that's funny. I mean, this, bad, but
if,
funny.
It's like one of those, like, oh my God, grandma, stop. You're making it worse. Like, it's one of those type of situations.
Bitches in her 70s.
So anyway, the reason why I bring that up, and yes, it is relevant here to E3. You're damn right I just tied RuPaul and E3 together. Because I bet E3 realizing, today is the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote. You know what we should do? We should post an article about women gaming. Let's go to Google.
No,
women playing game. And what do you want to bet? I would bet you money that is what happened at E3 headquarters. Please note, that is not excusing it. That is not saying it was okay. I'm just pointing out how stupid of a mistake it was.
Yes.
And how you can't rely on rely on Google to do your social media work.
Yes, you search top games women play, that's the first article that pops up.
Sorry, I just had an accident.
Rob Roberts, industry analyst. Please use my title. Please use my title. Moving forward.
I'm sorry, I just had like a big oops and now my vehicle Voltron is missing his head.
Act Deft in chat says, let Loki speak. No, it's my week to speak. Yes, Loki can speak.
Just the thing is that I'm really tired of these tone deaf celebrities thinking that, yes, you know, just because they have fame on their side, that what they have to say is relevant. And no, the fuck not, it's relevant. You need to learn to shut your fuck up and know your role.
And, you know, I'm thinking of 25 games that women play. I'm using my quotey fingers. And I'm like, you know, clearly the people at E3 who probably didn't even read this article before posting it, they do not know the same people that I know, because I'm like, where's Resident Evil? Where's, yeah, Dead by Daylight? Where's like all the murder games? Because maybe it's just the women I know. But, like, there's a lot of, you know what? Actually, at the end of the day, you know what games women are playing? The exact same games as men. And that, exactly, my friends, should have been the tweet. So.
It's just a bunch of misogynist garbage. Because, like, we are 50% of the gaming population. Like, that is a bona fide number. And the, mm-hmm, fact that these, you know, little shits are out there, and yeah, I'm on a roll. I'm gonna put my Voltron back together and explain a thing. Oh, his head actually legit broke off. That's sad. Anyway, let's see, there's his head. But at any rate, what I was gonna say is that we are still fighting stereotypes that have been perpetrated. Not just in the video games, but of course it's going to bleed over, because everything at some point was a man's domain. That was the thought, you know. Mm-hmm. But then you want to look actually more into the way history has gone. Women have been, I'd say, some of the truest innovators. Like, mm-hmm, I'm going to actually throw out a historical thing out here. You know where the word computer came from?
Where?
They would actually use humans to compute complex mathematical equations. And at the beginning of the space race, it was women, specifically many women of color on top of it, who were human computers.
And that's what that movie Hidden Figures was all about, right?
Well, part of it, yeah. You know, but it was something that had gone on in plenty of other scientific fields too.
Sure.
And then, but now we have this thing where, oh, math and science is the man's thing, blah, blah, blah. Or like Barbie, I don't like math, you know. I mean, but look at it. We like kind of the scary, violent stuff. I mean, how many women do you know who know all about serial killers? Just saying. And we ain't going to play Resident Evil? Bitch, please.
And that whole thing's gotten even more in 2020.
Right?
Because y'all are staying at home and watching Netflix docs.
For the record, I am not a serial killer fan. I just like watching Unsolved Mysteries and Forensic, mm-hmm, Files. Because, mm-hmm, I like Forensic Files. I started off in college in forensic geology.
That's what my sister does for a living. So believe me, I'm surrounded by it. And I hate that stuff. I hate it. I hate it.
Well, but I like the science around it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, y'all have seen the games that I'm into, and I am certainly not alone in it, you know? Like, how many times have I played through the Mass Effect trilogy? How many times have I played through Dragon Age? What am I playing right now other than Animal Crossing, you know?
And that's why it's so irritating that this list comes out and it's like Candy Crush. And I mean, granted, Animal Crossing was on it, but any list in 2020 is going to have Animal Crossing on it, because it's what a lot of people, right, are playing. Men, women, non-binaries,
yeah,
everybody, all ages, every single one of us is playing Animal Crossing because it's the escapism that we have right now, you know? Mm-hmm. So the infuriating part of that is how E3 endorsed that. And I was really mean on Twitter. I don't get nasty to corporations on Twitter very often. I don't, but I went like full, I went full 11 Karen on the ESA, because what I thought was very interesting, it's the E3 tweet that went viral. The ESA, the actual organization that puts on E3, wrote the same thing, and two people had replied to it. I was one of them. And my reply was basically along the lines of, how dare you represent this organization when you tweet tone deaf stuff like this and give this stuff a voice? I don't, maybe I could dig up my tweet, but it was just basically like, and that's where my mind was at, is that don't you remember when video games were for nerds, were for people in mom's basement, when video games were frowned on because only like people with social problems play video games because they have nothing else to do. That's how a certain generation of individuals views video games and probably still does today.
I do like a comment on here by someone who goes by Stephanie, not a burrito. I've been playing video games for 30 years and you're still going to reduce me to Chex Notes, Kim Kardashian, Hollywood Adventure. I hope someone loses their job over this garbage article.
Yeah. And it infuriated me that the ESA is obviously being run by people in that same generation who think that, you know, gamers are shut-ins and social recluses and things like that. Well, guess what, everyone? It's 2020. And in the year 2020, we believe that video games are for everyone. And that is the message that a organization that claims to support this industry, that takes this industry's money to represent their best interests, that puts on this show that is supposed to be the pinnacle thing of our industry every year, that's the message the ESA is obligated to communicate, is that video games are for everyone. So when they tweet out this tone-deaf shit instead, that is what is infuriating. And by golly, that is why the ESA is imploding. And that is why E3 isn't happening. It's not because of COVID. It's because the ESA is a mismanaged organization. And this is proof. We need new representation in the video game industry. I rest my case.
It's just more shit like that that makes it really hard to be a woman or demi-woman or anyone on the female end of the spectrum of gender to still be taken seriously in gaming. I mean, I still get bullshit. I mean, and how long have I been fucking doing this show? 18 years, right? You know, I have friends of mine who don't play online games anymore because of toxic little man children on the internet. And then we have E3, who's supposed to like you were saying, represent all the gamers, pulling this. No, you're not making anything any easier for us. We play the same games the dudes do, okay? Gaming knows no gender. Fuck off.
The ESA has still not apologized for the data breach of all the journalists and their personal information from E3. When is change going to happen at that organization? It's time. And until they make changes at that organization, you can kiss E3 goodbye, because it's not that it shouldn't happen. It's that it's going to fall up its own asshole so hard it can't happen. Until they make changes. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. No. But you remember what I told you about 2020 earlier today? They can also eat a bag of rusty iron dicks. Just saying.
Tiger Claw linked. Thank you. I can always trust Tiger Claw or Dark Tetsuya in chat to be the live fact checkers while the show is going. So here's what I said to the ESA, and I believe this. The fact that you'd retweet this shit article that belittles women gamers as if they can't play the same stuff as men is a great example of, one, the ESA is a badly run org, two, your expo is fucked and was fucked before COVID ever showed up. Delete this ad and delete your entire account. Bye. And then I followed that up with a tweet that said, me walking into the next ESA board meeting, and it's a video clip of Heidi and Closet from RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked going, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, and fuck you.
Okay, so I'm actually making a tweet right now. I have been sitting on it for a while trying to decide what I want to say.
Well, and
I
just want to say, before you send anything off, I just want to make sure you know, E3 did pull the tweet and say, we goofed.
Screenshot.
Yeah. So E3.
I have a screenshot. So
I know. We all got the receipts, girl. But E3 did pull the tweet and say, our bad, basically. That's kind of not good enough.
Yeah, it's not at all. It's a sweep under the rug movement, you know, it's basically garbage. But what I said is, here's my two cents on the E3 and their tweet. Gaming knows no gender. Women are 50% of the gaming community. Proven. We play the same games the male end of the spectrum plays. We play what non-binary people play. All genders play the same pool of games. Kindly fuck off.
Yeah. Like, video games. Attention, ESA. Video games are for everyone. You put it on the flag or you fucking get out of this industry.
Exactly.
Because your archaic views are no longer welcome in this industry.
They're not. The people are no longer welcome at all. Just no matter what they say, people who are like that.
I need a flag.
No,
I need a flag. Do you hear the people sing? Sing the songs of angry men
humans.
And women and non-binary individuals.
I say humans. Yeah. It's bullshit.
Absolutely. All right.
Ooh, we went off, girl.
I know. It's been a night. Sabo will not sit still. Fine. You want to sit in the front row, Sabo? You can sit in the front row. All right. Moving on. YYR is asking, do you need a little Pokemon. Sorry. Oh, you can't. Uh-oh. You guys can't even see because that part of my screen's cut off. Never mind then. All right. YYR in chat says,
typos on this.
Do you need a trains flag? No, we do not need a trains flag. My dad did work in trains for many years, and I'm sure he would appreciate it. But there's another community that needs our support a little bit more right now, and you're going to need to delete one letter to make it.
Oh, all my right. God. I found the RuPaul tweet, by the way, and that is some absolute bullshit.
Isn't it one of those, like, grandma, step away from the keyboard. Grandma, stop.
Yeah.
Grandma. Please do not tweet at the Olive Garden, Grandma. They're not listening.
Okay. I have finally reposted my tweet with correct grammar, so I'm just saying.
All right. I'm going to move on to the next story just in the interest of time because we'll be here all night screaming at the ESA. All right. Let's talk about some movement forward in our industry, shall we? And let's talk about Microsoft redoing the user interface on the Xbox Series X, of course. And this is going to be something that will trickle down to Xbox One and also going to impact what Game Pass will look like on PC as well as even Xbox on mobile. So it's kind of like a unified interface across all of those platforms. So they showed some pictures of what it will look like. It has some elements of a familiar looking crossbar, but I'm not going to say it's copy because it's very much not. They're definitely doing kind of a different little spin on it. And it does seem to make a little more sense, certainly than what Microsoft was doing before, which for better or for worse, the Xbox One interface was designed for Kinect. The gamers pushed back on Kinect, and Kinect was forced to be removed, yet the interface that was still like a Kinect interface was kind of stuck. So this is the first time now that Microsoft can kind of reinvent without feeling like Kinect is there, because it's not for most people now. So anyway, they went on to say that gamer choice is a big part of this. And this also strikes me as something that's in the messaging for the Xbox Series X about how you need to be able to like flip games on a dime. Like, I'm playing this game and then I'm going to flip over here and pick off where I was at here. It's kind of part of like what the solid state drive and all this does. But you notice that continued messaging in what they say. That means the way you manage your hardware and games, the way you find what you want to play next, and the way you communicate and share with friends. Whatever device you use, we aspire to deliver an amazing Xbox experience that keeps you connected to games and friends throughout your day. And then they talk about instant welcome and however you choose to play. So whether you're alone on your console or getting friends together, so they're kind of like, you know, tying that sort of element together to make that easier to understand for when you have guests. And then they're talking about Xbox Assist also on the console. And then, of course, again, selling that like kind of solid state drive. The Xbox Series X will set a new bar for speed when it launches this November. And we're taking the experience to accelerate across Xbox. So I got to say, the Xbox interface, it does feel a little bit clunky. I think it's more the speed than anything that kind of bothers me about that interface. But PlayStation is just as bad, if not worse, especially when you're trying to navigate the store. So a nice bump in speed for hardware for both of these platforms is going to go a very long way. And it'll be kind of nice to see that everything is unified. you know, between all those different platforms. It also is bringing together the PC environment and the Xbox environment even more so. So that's just going to make some people go even more. Do I really need an Xbox? Well, if you're paying for Game Pass, then Microsoft still loves you no matter what, right? Crystal Skies in 80 in our chat says, I just reset up my Kinect. I'm not saying Kinect is bad. I'm just saying the gamers rejected it, meaning they did not believe it should be included with the Xbox One. And to be fair, I think a big reason they rejected it is that the variety of Kinect and what it did in that interface on the Microsoft wasn't really sold very well. And the games, you know, it was a lot of dance games, a lot of fitness games. It never really broke that mold. Yes, you started to see things like Disneyland Adventures and stuff that was doing different stuff, but there was nothing like, let's say, Wii Sports in the Xbox One environment specifically. I would say they did a very good job with a lot of that stuff when Kinect was on 360, but there was nothing on that level with Xbox One. But anyway, let's see, some other comments here. VG Realness says, the PS4 interface is so slow. I don't understand why it's so bad. Yeah, I agree. YYR in chat says, granted, it hasn't really been tailored for Kinect in a while. This is an evolution rather than a major change. Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, where they start, like, their base square that they had to start from had Kinect in it. So they were tied to that for a little bit until, you know, Microsoft was really free of that. And then they didn't, like, they didn't really make a radical change from that. A lot of what you saw in that interface is still there. Yes, they've made a lot of changes, but this is going to be a big change. But this is the time to do it, I think. So, all right. Anyway, so look forward to seeing how this is going to look on Series X and PC and all of that. So a new look for Microsoft coming later this year. All right, moving on. Why don't we get to Dark Sakura? You have a follow-up on some exciting stuff from this week.
I do, and I watched it happen last night. I was so excited. So Summer Games Done Quick 2020 was all online. It was amazing. And I saw some fantastic runs and had to mute the audio a couple of times. But overall, Dan and I, you know, tried to watch most of it. Even, you know, we even had it on while both of us were working. So we're super happy to say that after the week, they raised over $2.3 million for Doctors Without Borders.
That's great.
And of course, they've had some really big donations from the Yeti and Fangamer, but they also were able to take bits. You know, the little bitties were added into that final total as well. And so we watched. It ended with Pokemon Shield, which, you know, it was a nice giving it a watch. I kind of half watched it too.
I watched the beginning of it. I thought it was really neat.
I had a lot of it going. I actually donated for the Half-Life Alyx run, which then I tried to watch it and got, like, super motion sick. But it ended, they had hit the incentive for the Isle of Armor. Mm. So that was pretty cool. And yeah, I sat there and watched that number roll over. It was pretty rad. And of course, that's going to just go to help so many people. And I really think that doing it online this way, I mean, you know, we miss the couch. We miss the in-person, you know, banter and everything. But it gave a chance to a lot of people to do their hosting chops like Bobby. Yeah. It gave a lot of different runners a chance to participate in it who might not have been able to come out otherwise.
You know, a very good point that came out about that run that Bobby was hosting, the Devil May Cry 4 run, which was great. I watched that whole thing. Bobby did a great job as host, even despite the technical hiccups that happened. Like, he did his job very well. The commentators were on fire. They were doing a very good job. But Bobby was very good at when he was called on, he did his thing. He just popped in and out, just like he's supposed to do, and let the commentators get back to it. And none of his jokes, I mean, he definitely prepared jokes, but they didn't feel forced. I thought he did a very, very good job. So props to him. And
I think very appropriate.
it's weird to hear that a massive chat room actually responded positively to him, because I associate so many chat rooms with like garbage comments. So I wasn't even in there, but some of our other VOG fam were in there and said Bobby got was well received, and he earned it. So congratulations. But the point I want to make with the whole virtual thing, that whole Devil May Cry 4 run and how well received it was. Well, the speedrunner for that was a Russian guy. And if the thing had been in person, you know, just with the state of the world being as it is, and the fact that just getting here from Russia is going to be expensive anyway, he may not have been able to attend an in-person event. I don't know his life. Maybe he could. But let's say that there probably are some speedrunners that couldn't do it if it was in person. So the virtual event lended itself well to that. But I don't think it should all be.
That was my point.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I don't think it should all be virtual. Well, obviously during COVID, it's going to have to be. But, you know, long term, you know, the 4 years from now and so forth, I think the nice thing will be maybe there's a little hybrid there. There's still the in-person convention fun stuff. But maybe when they need 30 minutes to change something up on the stage, you know what? We're going to go to a God mode exhibition right now from one of our speedrunners in Russia. Let's go to it. You know, and that could be a really cool way to maybe fill some time. And then
it
I know
really
a lot of
becomes
people. Yeah,
a more international event. It mm-hmm. It unites the world of gamers.
Yeah. So I think it would be great to maybe see like a little bit of a hybrid. I don't think it needs to like be mostly virtual. Well, I'm talking post COVID and post pandemic, because if the flu of 1918 ended at one point, this one will too. It'll just take some time.
Well,
and some
with
better
some
leadership.
Of that, though, there's probably some games they wouldn't even be able to run, I would think, there.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like with the exhibitions with Pump It Up and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, the Pump It Up one's pretty cool.
They might be able to do it if they were willing to broadcast from their arcade, because when they do it on site, you know, the on site, and I didn't realize how much went on until Bobby and, you know, Jason last year were telling me about it, but they have, you know, not just what you see on Twitch, but there's a whole 24-hour arcade next door. They have panels going on a lot. It's basically a week-long gaming convention, essentially. So it would, if they could get cameras in the arcade, Tokyo Attack, I'm sure they have Pump It Up machines, they might be able to do it on site still. But I'm thinking more like the VR stuff is a great example, because that's kind of a pain in the ass to set up in person. And the runners who might not be able to get here otherwise would be great to have just a little bit of that international flavor. You know, maybe one or two a day tops, you know, just to spice it up a little. With all respect to the recaps and the clever things they're doing there, do we need that, or could we maybe squeeze in a couple other speed runs from around the globe? But these are questions GDQ is going to have to answer. I'm not in a position to do that, and I'm not saying it was bad before. Certainly not. The constant question: we're already a 10 out of 10 event. How do we make it 11? Right. And maybe these are questions to make it 11. Questbuster in chat says the Half-Life Alyx run was awesome. Seeing the physical stuff the runner went through to get to do the tricks was a big part of that. So, yeah, Bobby did a great job hosting. And I tried to donate and get my donation read, but I guess I snuck in an in-joke that didn't get through the screeners. So I'm not mad about it, because at the end of the day, it's about the charity. It's about the speedrunners. But when I sent in my donation, I didn't put in my donation as Rob Roberts. I put in my donation as Mr. Smush, hoping that Bobby would read that. And then the people that know would laugh, because, oh, that we know who Mr. Smush is. But, oh, well, it didn't get through.
I just did my usual one. You know, every year that I've donated for the mm-hmm. last however many years, I've always introduced myself the same way on everyone. Mm-hmm. And then when Dan does it, he's just like, here's some money. Like, this year's the money. Like, take our money. And the fact that Dan donates actually is saying something, because he's pretty cheap.
All right. Let's move on, though. Congratulations to everybody involved with Games Done Quick, Bobby, too. Was Jason involved? I didn't ask Jason if he had any involvement this year, because he's been an on-site volunteer. So I don't know if he did anything with the virtual event. But a hello and thank you to Jason for just being there anyway. He does a lot of great work with our voiceovers, if nothing else. Let's move on. We have more gaming news to get to.
Yes, this is exciting news that came out at the end of the Nintendo Indies little trailer that they did. I wouldn't say it's a trailer, direct, I guess. But apparently, Untitled Goose Game is going to be getting a new free update on September 23rd. And as part of that, they're going to have co-op play being added to the game. So that's pretty awesome. Twice the goose power.
It'll be Untitled Geese?
Yes, Untitled Geese Game.
Which has finally brought one of the pre-show bumpers to light. So if you listen on the podcast feed, you don't understand what I'm talking about. But if you watch on Twitch, it always opens up with and it's a throwback to, some would say Dragon Con TV, which yes, but it's a real, real throwback to the show. You can't do that on television where something is preempted so that the in fact, you know what? Hell with it. Hell with it. Even for you podcast folks, I'm going to play one right now. So it has a little animation here for VOG, and then it gets into this.
Microsoft Fight Simulator will not be seen tonight, so that we can bring you this special presentation.
Okay, so haha, get it? Not because Flight Simulator is a big game this week. I worked very hard on photoshopping that logo, by the way. So anyway, my point is, we actually had Untitled Geese Game as one of those before one of our episodes, except it was a picture of Geese Howard from King of Fighting. Yes, but still, we were close.
Predictable.
That would have been fun. Yeah. But yes, I'm very, very excited to see that update. That'd be pretty fun to see. And hey, we can see some co-op speed runs now, because I know Untitled Goose Game was one that's been in previous GDQs. So, I can't wait to see what happens with that.
All right. So let's talk about some of the other things that were shown at the Nintendo Direct, the Mini Direct, the Indie Direct. I mentioned earlier in the show, already a success because I ended up buying Hades because of that Direct. But they did announce that Hades is going to be coming to the Switch as well. So that's pretty cool. They also spent a little time talking about a game called Raji, an ancient epic, which is a game set in ancient India and inspired by Hindu and Balinese mythology.
I've been seeing our friend Shivam play it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. It looks really, really cool. I'm considering it.
It looks, honestly, like my gut reaction said it looks like Princess of Persia, like with the gameplay and everything. I thought it looked pretty cool. So I'm definitely interested in picking that up. I've heard some very positive things about it, and that looks really cool. It looks like it's a very, like, tactful way to represent some of those stories and so forth in game. I thought that was really cool. They also showed Spiritfarer for the Switch. Now, Spiritfarer also came out on Xbox Game Pass, and I think it's also on like Steam and Epic Store. So Spiritfarer kind of came out a lot of places, but it was also in this presentation. So there is that. And then a game called A Short Hike, which you can play at your own pace. You choose whatever path you want. It has a very interesting kind of like retro look to it. It was kind of interesting looking. And so that also, and a very common theme for a lot of these things they announced during that Indie Direct, releases today. Like almost all of those things I mentioned, Raji released today. Hades didn't. But then Spiritfarer did. A Short Hike did. And there was a couple others, too. So they announced a few of those. There's Torchlight 3 they showed is going to be coming to the Switch as well. A game called Takeshi and Hiroshi. I hope I said that right. Sorry. Hypnospace Outlaw. Card Shark, which looked kind of interesting. I don't know. That was kind of a weird one to me, but I was interested. Here's the other later today. Manifold Garden, which looked like a kind of like a physics puzzle type of game. Kind of looked interesting. I think Shane told me he was playing that and he enjoyed that. So there's that. Subnautica and Subnautica Below Zero were confirmed for a Switch launch in 2021. Garden Story, that game looked really cute, coming in 2021 as well. Then there was Evergate and a game called Bear and Breakfast.
I was also going to, I forgot to mention when I was talking about Untitled Goose Game, they announced that there's going to be a physical release of that as well. So that's something else you can look forward to if you haven't picked it up yet.
Yeah. Crystal Skies 80 in our chat says, Spiritfarer is game of the year material for me. Well, that's quite the hype for that. So I might have to check that out. So many games, so little time. But Spiritfarer is on Xbox Game Pass, thankfully. So even though I might not get to it on Switch, because, you know, I'll probably just get it on Game Pass, I'll have to check it out. Sounds really cool. So, yeah, I really, you know, the presentation overall, I really enjoyed it. I thought for a quickie, you know, and of course there's those goddamn people on Twitter replying, what Smash Brothers when? New character Smash when? And it's like, you fucking assholes, shut up. How much plainer English can Nintendo say? This is an indie event, and we're not showcasing anything first party
today.
They're
just trolling, I think. They know better, because they said it in the Twitter. They said it on the actual direct. It's just people trolling is what it is.
Fine. Then the trolls need to shut up too, because they're muffling the noise of the people that are legitimately excited about some of the games. And I thought Nintendo did a really good job on that presentation. Or I should say the indies did a really good job on that presentation. So, all right. Well, let's move on. We have more stories, right, Dark Sakura?
That we do. So, and you actually made a little mention of this as far as style. We were talking about that other game, but Prince of Persia, the remake, there's a listing for it online for Nintendo Switch and PS4, estimated to be released November of this year. If you are a Prince of Persia fan, I mean, honestly enough, I think it would be absolutely delightful to have something like that on Switch. Although the main dude only looks like vaguely Persian. So just saying.
Well, that is a classic PC gaming, you know, or early like 80s computing. Because I think the original Prince of Persia was like Apple IIe and Commodore 64 and TI-99A, like, you know, all those computers that were out in the 80s. That, you know, original was like a quintessential. Actually, no, I don't know if it goes back quite that far. I don't know if it goes all the way back to Apple IIe, but certainly like Macintosh and like that maybe later 80s era of home computing.
Well, I have more. So at any rate, Ubisoft hasn't given any confirmation about it, but we do have an Ubisoft Forward event happening pretty soon. The source came from a Nintendo distributor in Guatemala called Max. So take it as you will, but I would imagine that have had to have something to make that go. And we've been seeing the Prince of Persia rumors, you know, going around about a new version coming out, and one of the engineers from Ubisoft teasing something. So we'll see what happens.
YYR in chat is asking, not on Xbox. If this remake is what we think it is, they were already on Microsoft and Sony platforms some time ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the original. Yeah, it's only listing Sony and Nintendo. So,
I thought it was on Microsoft's too. That's weird.
No, the image is, and you know, for our people in chat, I'll be more than happy to give a link to the tweet to them. But it's someone posted it called Ken Xyro, so KenXYRO. On August 19th, if our listeners want to look for the tweet. I'll link it in chat for our live people.
All right. Well, we'll see what comes of this. I think looking forward to that Ubisoft Forward event is a very good chance. We'll hear a little more of this at that time. In the meantime, a few more stories before we get to the classic game of the week, starting with Loki.
Yes, this is kind of ridiculous, but I'm not a huge, you know, brand loyal person, but apparently a lot of folks are really into Supreme and their product lines and clothing lines. Well, if you're really a huge fan of Supreme and a fan of Mortal Kombat, you can get some horrible abomination that is a combination of those two in the Supreme Mortal Kombat arcade cabinet from Arcade 1-Up. It is got Raiden decked out in Supreme gear, and it says Supreme on top instead of Mortal Kombat.
That's a bad idea.
It's also got a Supreme stand at the bottom there to raise it up as well. I don't think I would want that.
YYR is asking a very valid question in chat right now. What is Supreme?
It's a brand, and it's terrible and boring.
I don't know.
It's like clothing.
It's really boring looking branding. I mean, it honestly, I was like, "That your branding sucks."
Yeah.
See, when I gave this a once-over, I thought that it was like, oh, they're coming out with a like another cabinet, but Arcade 1-Up already has one. Okay. Supreme is an American skateboarding shop and clothing brand established in New York City in 94. The brand caters to skateboarding and hip-hop cultures as well as to youth culture in general. The brand produces clothes and accessories and also manufactures skateboards. So this might be where some of the disconnect is that this is a brand catered towards a younger audience. And let's be real, we're all in our late 30s and early 40s now here at OLR. So these are our clothes that probably don't even fit us. So... if there's a little
bit like, who is this really target? I mean, I get it. Like it, you know, but why would you want that? Like on an arcade cabinet, it just seems kind of silly. Like, I don't know. Like I wouldn't want, you know,
I can't wait for the, Calvin Klein, you know, Prince of Persia machine to come out.
Yeah, like just like something like I wouldn't even like if I'm going to get an arcade cabinet, I don't know, like it would be silly. Like if they really wanted to go all out, I think they should go, you know, double down on it, and they should have like reskin the actual characters in the game to be all wearing Supreme stuff. That would be like kind of ridiculous enough for this cabinet. But the fact that you're just putting like a new. It just it almost looks like parody, like on the outside. I just don't see the point.
Let me be that guy and ask the devil advocate question. Isn't Mortal Kombat kind of that video game, though? Isn't Mortal Kombat kind of that parody video game, though? Like, if any video game were to have all their characters wearing, like, wouldn't Mortal Kombat be that game?
No. No, I don't think it would be.
Crystal Skies 80 in chat says there is a large crossover between Mortal Kombat and the hip hop community.
Someone did their market research.
Yeah, but I think this could have very easily been a lot of different video games. I would say maybe Mortal Kombat and Warner Brothers was probably the first to answer the phone. So, all right. Anyhow, let's move on.
Yay, someone likes us.
All right, let's move on and talk about Control. So last week on the program, we talked about how there was a report that Control would not be doing free upgrades. Basically, like if you owned the PlayStation 4 version, too bad. You had to buy it again if you wanted it on PlayStation 5. Same thing in the Microsoft climate as well. Well, this week, 505 Games kind of responded to this and firmed their stance, basically, saying the following. While it is challenging bringing any game to next-gen platforms, we quickly realized it was even more difficult to upgrade our current user base to next-gen with full parity across platforms with our year-old game. Every avenue we pursued, there was some form of blocker, and those blockers meant that at least one group of players ended up being left out of the upgrade for various reasons. As of today, we can't offer an upgrade to everyone, and leaving any one group out feels unfair. Now, there's a couple ways to take that comment, because I think a lot of people probably at first glance read that comment and go, they're just blowing smoke up our ass, they don't want to do it. But there's another part of me that reads this comment and that goes, 505's throwing shade. They're just not making their target clear. Somebody isn't playing nice, and they're not willing to out the bitch, basically, the ramifications.
I can't imagine, though, who that would be that's not playing nice, because if you think about it, there's like plenty of other third-party games that are offering these free upgrades, you know, to the next-gen thing. And they're offering it as well, but only for this Ultimate Edition thing that you have to repurchase.
There's probably some type of issue there. And that's what the articles I'm reading are theorizing, too, is that it might have to do with you have the old version of the game. That doesn't mean you get the Ultimate version with everything on it for free. So there might be a problem there. They want people
I'm not buying it. Sorry. Because... like, I could get it, like, if it was like, you know, well, we want to do all the stuff for the Ultimate version, but because of that, we can't make the regular version, and that's why, like, for example, like, say they were trying to push something with the DLC that technology-wise, they couldn't do it on the current generation of systems. It was just so amazing that they could only do it on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. And that's why they're like, okay, well, this version we can only sell on those systems. But you're creating the assets, you're creating the game already for the other system and the current gen system. But for whatever reason, like, if you even own the DLC, like, you have part A and part B, and then you're selling part A and B together now as well. But for some reason, this one can go and be upgraded, but the other one can't. That doesn't make any sense. It's the same game, essentially, except one of them has the DLC bundled with it, and the other one, you buy it separately. I don't understand it. To me, this sounds like a whole lot of the Assassin's Creed issue where they're like, oh, yeah, you know, creating female characters is just too hard. It's just, we would have to create all this extra clothing to fit on the female characters. It's just too, it's impossible. We can't do it. I think it's more of, it's expensive to do this, and we want to sell you this copy because we need to
recoup the cost.
We need to, you know, offset the cost to develop this new version, is what it is. Yeah. It's exactly
ridiculous.
What it is.
It's absolutely ridiculous that it even pulled this. So,
all right, well, it is what it is. Consider that if you're going to buy Control, because I still need to play that game. But I'll tell you, I'm just going to sit and wait at least until, like, I'm not going to buy it now if they're not going to give a free upgrade. I'll wait for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox One versions, or I'm sorry, Xbox Series X versions, and do it then.
Or even better, just wait for it to come on to Games Pass.
Yeah, which is didn't they say it was gonna come to Game Pass at some point? I thought they announced it, and then I don't know. I could be making it up. There's a lot of games that I thought were coming to Game Pass, like Final Fantasy 13, like a year ago, that still haven't. So I don't know. All right. Anyhow, Let's move on. Let's go back to a simpler time. There wasn't really Ultimate editions of games. We might have got an HD edition years later, wink wink,
right?
But there was no we didn't get the same game on the very next platform. All right, anyway, it's the classic game of the week. I could have done that transition better, but oh well. Classic of the week. So every week, Dark Soccer likes to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats, check out this game because it's a classic. Dark Soccer, what is the
and I want to lawn and go to an arcade.
I do want to warn, the B-roll tonight is only like 2 or 3 minutes, so it's not going to cover the entire segment. So if anyone needs a break and I should kill your camera, let me know. All right. But it's the classic game of the week. So Dark Sakura, what did you pick for us tonight?
I picked Under Defeat. So it was a shooter game that was developed by G-Rev, released in Japanese arcades in 2005. So it's an alternate reality during World War II where you control German characters under the banner of the Empire, fighting the enemies called the Union that speak English and possess weapons that are patterned after real weapons. So they're actually patterned, sorry, after Allied and Axis powers. There was a Dreamcast version released in 2006 and marketed as the last game for the system, although it actually was not. But it wasn't really given great reviews. It was more like average because it was pretty, you know, pretty derivative. You know, all shooters have been done. But it did get a HD release for PS3 and Xbox 360 in 2002 that was published by Rising Star Games. It was updated to contain improved visuals, different control scheme options, and new gameplay modes to adapt for the 16:9 display. And of course, it was re-released in arcades, cool enough, as Under Defeat HD Plus. So with this game, you are a helicopter pilot, and you can rotate it kind of like Zero Gunner 2. But most of the time, it's just very, you know, traditional compared to a lot of the Toa Plan games like Twin Cobra. It does use 3D graphics and sort of a 2D setting with an angled perspective to give things a little bit more depth. But it's very, you know, it's very simple, you know, machine gun, bomb button, that's it. And of course, you've got some different things.
It's a very unique visual style for shmups, I think. Like the kind of like tilted sort of view it has.
But the game plays like any other. So you have three attacks. You've got your machine gun, your bombs, and your options. So if you hold down the fire button or the X button, you're going to get a continuous stream of bullets with the machine gun. This is your primary weapon. And you start with three bombs, but you can accumulate up to six. You get a full screen blast. We all know how that happens in these games. And then you'll get different weapon assist options that will give you extra firepower. And it'll cycle through depending on where you are in the game and what your stages are. Your helicopter can move in eight directions, although your speed is fixed based on how the screen is scrolling. You can have your left-right directions reversed in pilot style, but it happens like in the game. As far as the big thing that is, I would say its selling point with the original is your resolution mode. So if you tap the R button on this, you'll get four different modes. One that rotates the whole screen 90 degrees to the right. You can also do it the, you know, the other way. You have, like, if you were doing this at home, though, you would have to, like, have your TV on its side. So, you know, like, having one of those rotating screens. So it really is, you know, kind of hard. But at any rate, you've got, you know, a few different, different kind of weapon options. You'll get the weapons option, sorry. You have Vulcan Machine Gun, which is the same as your main gun. It's a fast recharge, but weak in power. You have a green cannon that's at eight moderately powerful salvos that are fired one every second that can take out both small and medium tanks and helicopters with one shot. It has a longer recharge, and it has a shorter range than the rocket grenade. And that's the last one, the rocket grenade, which is a single powerful shot. And it'll take out nearly every enemy in the game and has blast radius damage, really good for bosses, but it has a long recharge period. You also do get some point modifiers by, you know, multiplying, you know, score different multipliers, get it go up. You can get up to as large as 10,000 times modified. As I was saying, though, it was released in Japanese arcades October 27th, 2005. It had a soundtrack that was released in December. The Dreamcast port came out March 23rd, 2006. And it was announced basically 5 years after Sega said that they were going to stop supporting the system. The other games that came out after it, though, were Trigger Heart, Excelica, and Karas, which, who knows, they might end up being future games of the week. We'll see. G-Rev thought the game was a commercial success. It sold through its first printing in 1 week. It was basically their best-selling game since Border Down in 2003. And they, of course, limited release and had another limited edition with a pack-in CD. It was different than the initial CD that came out. And so since people were like, we want more, we want more, G-Rev did release the HD version of Under Defeat for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 in October 2011. It was published by Rising Star Games. Normally, a lot of the G-Rev games were Xbox 360 exclusives, but they did go in with that PS3 port as well in the digital storefronts that are. So, yeah, it's got all kinds of different modes in it. I won't go into it for... I know we have a lot of shmup fans in there. But it did... It was basically just considered to be... You know, the perspectives on it were really novel. But it was just considered to be fairly mediocre. I mean, just like middle of the road for shooter. Like, right above average for your shooter. It got a C plus or maybe a B minus, but it didn't have any inventive bullet patterns. The scoring method was pretty, you know, cut and dried. The controls were the same as most other ones out at the time. So it was fairly average, but it does have that novelty of being a very late Dreamcast release. So,
yeah, that's kind of fascinating how late this came out.
Yeah, and G-Rev, I mean, themselves, G-Rev has had some amazing shooters. I mean, they've also, you know, done some puzzle games and things like that. But, I mean, they also assisted on Gradius V, they worked with Yuichi Hiroshi, who worked on Ikaruga, on their game Strania. So they're no newbies to this. They've done some fantastic games on here. Their last arcade game, though, was Under Defeat HD. So I think that also has... It should be important. One of their more recent ones, for the record, though, by the way, was Darius Burst Chronicle Saviors, which has been absolutely hilarious to watch for their Sega-themed add-ons. So, but yeah. Going back to the original topic, though, it's absolutely... it's pretty. I'll give it that. It's absolutely a pretty game. Yeah. But it's novel for its relation to Dreamcast release.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing that game to our attention, Dark Sakura.
Good pick. You know, it's a fun romp.
It's a fun romp.
Yes.
Under Defeat is classic game of the week, if you want to look that up. All right. Or the H. You know, you probably are going to have a hard time finding that. Well, no, you're not, because Dreamcast games were pirated so easily. Not that I would ever advocate
right.
piracy, but let's just be real. If you wanted to find it, it's pretty easy. But these, remakes that they did for, like, PS3 and stuff are certainly worth your time as well, if you want to check it out. I mean, it's not the best shooter you'll ever play, but it's a romp. Anyway, thank you, Dark Sakura, as always. Let's move on with our show. We got some rapid-fire news, some quick news bullet points for tonight. Loki, we'll start with you, I think.
Yeah, so there was the whole DC fan fest thing that was going on. There was a lot of fandom. So there's lots of announcements regarding DC properties, including a few games. So we've, of course, got confirmation.
Lots of movie trailers, too.
And there's that terrible yeah. Batman that's going to come out. Ugh, can't we just have, like, a fun Batman movie?
I don't know. We'll see. I have mixed feelings on the trailer, but it didn't. I thought it would be worse. I'll put it that way. But anyway, sorry. But if you want to see our Discord, this is a good chance for me to shout out the Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. I saw Tiger Claw and other people there dropping the trailers that were released from that event, because there was the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League got a thing. Wonder Woman has a new trailer where, you know, you can actually kind of you can see Cheetah in it finally. And then, there's other stuff, Suicide Squad, which I guess they're just pretending the last one didn't happen. I don't know what they're doing. There's another one with like 500 people.
It's still it's technically they're not pretending it didn't happen. It has different people in it.
I thought they just were okay. But there's
were like that too though.
It's not just different people. It's 500 different people in that movie. It looks
great though. It looks fantastic. So I am very excited about that. Anyways, speaking of Suicide Squad though, there is a game that's going to be coming out as well that looks like it has some of the similar team members in it as well. And that is Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. It's going to be coming out in 2022. It looks fantastic, though. It's they showed off Harley Quinn, King Shark, Deadshot, and Captain Boomerang. But it's kind of teased right now, but it looks like that's for some reason some of the Justice League are going to be kind of villains in the game. Like Superman's shown to be killing somebody in there. So that's... I thought it may have been like Bizarro.
Like we're going for Injustice.
Sort of, yeah, sort of like that. So it's interesting, but I'm looking forward to that when that comes out. So they teased that a little bit. And then more sooner than that, of course, we're going to be getting a brand new game from Warner Brothers Montreal, which is Gotham Knights. And that, of course, follows... it's going to be similar to like the Batman Arkham Origins game. But it's following the, of course, Batgirl, Nightwing, Red Hood, and Robin. And yeah, it looks interesting. And that's going to be coming out in 2021.
That looked pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, this year, of course, we've got a brand new Call of Duty game coming out. So we have Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, and they released a trailer, for that as well, or I should say like a teaser that apparently, was I think coming from the end of an ARG that they did, and supposedly they're going to be announcing more details later this week about the game, but they showed a little teaser kind of announcing the title of the game and everything. So it's interesting. I like the Black Ops games, so I might have to check it out, but we'll see.
All right. And as Jason said in the intro, you're the only one that knows about those games, really. So
I haven't played them in a long time because, like, it's just like they've been shoehorning. Like, I guess the Battle Royale stuff's supposed to be pretty good, but mm-hmm. I haven't played in a long time, and it's not. I don't like jumping into it by myself. I like playing with friends, okay. probably because I beat the crap out of them. But I just haven't played in a long time, so it's hard for me to jump back into like a Battle Royale game. Like, if I had them to play with, I probably would, but. Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Like the single player campaigns. I just didn't pick up the last one, so I didn't play the single player campaign on that. But I do like the single player campaigns.
All right. Well, moving over to a series that has a lot of games across Sony and Nintendo. They don't release these on they do sometimes on Microsoft. I feel like there's just not as many. But it's the Arcade Archives. Hamster is the organization between Arcade Archives, and they have revealed they have their own streams they do called Arcade Archiver. There's so many of these. There's like 100 of them on Switch. But anyway, they are going to be doing some more games that will be coming to the Arcade Archives. This was a deal with Konami, it sounds like. Contra going to be coming out, as well as Gradius 2 and Super Cobra for Switch releases. And then one other outside Konami release that's still pretty exciting, Super Dodgeball, the Kunio-kun classic, the arcade version. That's going to be awesome because that was a good game. That'll be coming out as well in the Arcade Archive collection, but we don't know when. Just soon, trademark. Happening right now, a Nintendo Switch eShop sale. Yes, this is newsworthy because Nintendo games never go on sale. So, Luigi's Mansion 3 is now down from $60 to $42. So is Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, down $60 to $40. Some other games on some deep cut sale on this Nintendo Switch. Burnout Paradise Remastered, $35. Overwatch, $20. Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, $24. Diablo 3 Eternal Collection, $30. That's the one that includes Necromancer because it was on the Switch. There's a lot of indie games on sale as well through August 30th. Somebody was telling me there's over like 500 games on the indie sale, but there's just so much to wade through on the Switch. It can be a little bit daunting. A few of the highlights, Exit the Gungeon, $7. Ori and the Blind Forest, $14. Hotline Miami, $8.74. That all again on Nintendo Switch. eShop sale. Dark Sakura.
Well, we have I can't make words happen. The Astro City Mini has a release date for December 17th in Japan, and they've announced more titles for it. So originally we had Alien Syndrome, Alien Storm, Altered Beast, Columns 2, The Voyage Through Time, Dark Edge, Fantasy Zone. Yay! Golden Axe, Golden Axe, The Revenge of Death Adder, Puzzle and Action, Tant R, and Virtua Fighter. Now added to the list is Bonanza Brothers, Columns, Cotton, yes, I love Cotton, Cyber Police, E-SWAT, Puyo Puyo, I mean, there's like a bunch of good games on here I love already. Puzzle and Action, Ichidant R, Gain Ground, Shadow Dancer, another great game, Shinobi, Wonder Boy, Wonder Boy and Monster Land, and Wonder Boy 3, Monster Lair. So, I have some excitement going on in my heart for this one. And the system is going to be roughly $40.
I think it's more than that.
That's the Sega, the controller, sorry, is going to be $40.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like $120 or something.
Yeah, the system's going to be about, actually more like $130, but yeah.
And then they've got the little stand that goes with it that makes it look like a full Sega Astro City instead of just kind of like a bar top, which there was never a bar top Astro City.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of.
This is a do-want situation.
A little stool as well, so
yeah.
Pretty cool.
This is absolutely a do-want situation. And anyway, the other Harmonix game that was announced, Fuser, has 12 more songs that were added to the roster. So it's going to launch with more than 100 songs. New games announced are A-ha's Take on Me, Ace of Base The Sign, Amy Winehouse Rehab, Basement Jacks, Where's Your Head At? I love Basement Jacks. Becky G with Natty Natasha, Sin Pajama? I don't know the song. Benny Benassi presents the Biz Satisfaction, Childish Gambino, Summertime Magic. I'll just list the rest of them. GDFR, The Killer's the Man. Drogosti Dente, you know, the Numa Numa song.
Yeah, I remember that song.
Which, for some fucking reason, has been stuck in my head for a solid 2 weeks, and I've been making up lyrics to it to the cat. That's a side note. We have Fort and Angel PVD Remix 09 and Sean Paul's Temperature. It's due to be out on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC via Steam later on this fall.
That's a heck of a list. All right.
Yeah, it is.
Well, let's travel around the world and check out some games that are going to be coming out a little sooner than this fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this week we've got Cinders coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We have, I'm going to try not to butcher this, Kendagawa Jet Girls on PC and PlayStation 4. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered Edition coming out on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, iOS, and Android. The Legend of Heroes, Hajimari no Kiseki, that's on PlayStation 4. Moon Remix RPG Adventure on Nintendo Switch. Surgeon Simulator 2 on PC, and Tell Me Why Chapter 1. And then, of course, we also have on towards the end of the week here, Captain Tsubasa Rise of the New Champions on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Immortal Realms Vampire Wars on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Jump Force Deluxe Edition on Nintendo Switch. Madden NFL 21 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Project Cars 3 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Wasteland 3 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And last but not least, Windbound on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and some console called Stadia.
Why are they doing a Captain Tsubasa game 10 years after the last one?
Why not?
I mean, the manga's been out since 1981. It's a soccer game.
Yeah, but sometimes they revive old stuff, or, you know, it's just how they do it.
I was just a little surprised, that's all.
Yeah. All right, let's travel to Japan and check out some releases over there. And I gotta say, we've had a couple slow weeks in Japan. That's not the case this week. We're getting a backlog kind of unloaded on us this week. So Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles is released on the Switch this week in Japan. That's going to be a big one, because I know that's here. It'll be a big deal, too. The Captain Tsubasa also released Rise of New Champions, also releasing in Japan this week on the 27th. A game called Giraffe and Annika is coming out this week on the Switch. It's kind of like cartoony. Kind of looks like one of those level 5 games at first glance, but I don't think it's like comic book style cutscenes and things like that. And then also in Japan, we have Shinobi Koi Utsutsu for Nintendo Switch. I don't think that is to be confused with the popular Sega series of games. Looks like it's based off Ninja School. That's what it is. It's kind of one of those mangas about schools, but it's Ninja School. Also a game called Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, Labyrinth of Hope and the Gathering of Adventurers Plus. That is the fucking title of this game. Anyway, it looks like it's kind of like a redo of an earlier game. That's why they call it Plus. But it has like a new dungeon, new monsters. And also, it's kind of like a dungeon crawler, but like first person a little bit. Let's see. Forager, also on the Switch this week. No Straight Roads. Hurugashi no Naku Koro Nihu comes out this week as well. So very busy. That's just the Switch. Okay, if I go to the PlayStation 4, we're going to see a lot of those similar titles. Captain Tsubasa, The Legend of Heroes, Hajimari no Kisuke is out as well. Kiss Trilogy comes out in a regular and premium edition this week. And Giraffe and Annika also on PlayStation 4. MotoGP 20 is there as well this week. And Terminator Resistance and The Legend of Heroes, Hajimari no Kisuke, and that same title, I'll say it one more time, on the PlayStation 4, Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, Labyrinth of Hope and the Gathering of Adventurers Plus. That was actually that was the alternate name for this podcast, actually, at one point.
I just like that Giraffe and Annika has a Musical Mayhem edition.
That sounds like fun.
I just would play a game called Musical Mayhem.
What was that game Eternal Sonata. Remember that? That RPG they made out of music? Where the hell did that game go? That was a cool game. All right. Anyway.
I think I have it.
It deserves a redo. I don't know. All right. Anyway, let's move on. By the way, just quick programming note. For those of you that have followed OLR for a long time, you might be expecting us to do the mailbag right here because we usually do.
No, I do mine.
No, I know. We're gonna move the mailbag to the end of the show. Programming note.
No,
so.
But I haven't even done my part for us to announce mailbag, which comes after IT European releases.
Yes, that is very true. There is that as well. So.
Slow
got
down.
It. No, I'm fast.
Girl, catch your wig. Anyway, on the 24th in the UK, we have Street Power Football, which is real football and not American football. We have Descenders on August 24th and also No Straight Roads on the 26th. Gear Club Unlimited 2 Tracks Edition.
Gay roads only.
And then coming out on the 27th is a horde of things. The Sojourn Project Cars 3 Jump Force Deluxe Edition, Madden NFL 21, Dead Cells Prisoners Edition, Captain Tsubasa Rise of New Champions, Wasteland 3, Immortal Realms Vampire Wars, Nexomon Extinction, and that is it. Not yet for the full month, but those will come next week.
All right. Thing I said about the mailbag, insert it here. We'll get to that. We're merging it with the listener roundtable, so it makes more sense to be there. So, all right, moving on. Let's get to some more stories, Loki.
All right. So we should have seen this coming, even though they promised that this wouldn't happen. But can you really trust Facebook? You can't.
Well,
but apparently,
I can't believe I'm going to defend Facebook, but Facebook did not say this. This would never happen. The person who started Oculus, who hasn't been with Oculus for a long time, had that to say. And so
we knew this was going to happen eventually.
Facebook still sucks. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like we should hate them for the right reasons and not make up new ones.
Yes. So apparently starting in October, you're going to have to log into in order to be able to use your Oculus to, I guess, access your Oculus account. You're going to need to log in with a Facebook account. And apparently, if you are a current user of the Oculus and already have an Oculus account, you will need to link it with a Facebook account within the next 2 years to maintain the full functionality of your system. So after January 1st, 2023 is when that's going to go into effect. I'm not surprised. I don't know why we need to do it, but I'm sure that tracking your activities is probably part of it. But
because Facebook is going to want to show elements of your newsfeed in VR, and it is only a matter of time before and this whole COVID situation is only accelerating this. What did I say when Facebook bought Oculus in the first place? They want to put more live events and event type experiences, not just games, but the other. Remember, you know, there's other stuff that Oculus can do, concerts and things like that. Facebook wants to push that on your Oculus. And the only way they're going to know the type of stuff you like is for them to track all of the shit you do on Facebook. That's what it is.
I can't wait to get some really weird ads.
Like, let me make that very clear. Fuck Facebook. But that's what they're doing. All right.
Yeah, and since I already own an Oculus Rift, it's no big deal. I already have a Facebook account, and I already get tons of ads as it is. So I don't really care. I mean, but maybe if you haven't purchased a VR device, you might think twice about what you purchase. If it's a big deal to you, I mean, certainly that's a factor, but I don't know. It's kind of too late for me. So what am I going to do?
Bobby does want to say this. To be fair, Palmer's words were exactly, you will never need a Facebook account to use your Oculus Rift. Well, gotcha, gal. They don't make Oculus Rift anymore. It's Rift S and the Quest.
Well, true. And then, but
did he lie?
Technically true. But do you need the do you need to log into your Oculus account to be able to use like stuff through Steam? I can't remember if they've changed that now to where you have to log into that. I know that like because I tend to purchase a lot of my stuff not through the Oculus storefront, just through Steam VR because I can get better discounts on that stuff. So I'm curious if that is going to prevent me from doing that stuff. I would think not, but you never know.
Bobby says no, but you have to have the Oculus account to do setup on your device.
Well, there you go.
Well, I mean, it's
someone
just
will find a way.
I can think of no better advertisement for the HTC Vive than what Oculus just did this week. As far as I'm concerned, I have not taken the leap into VR on the PC yet. I haven't really just found that thing that, you know, I have that baby's first VR, the PlayStation VR. It works great. It does what I need to do and plays enough of the games I want to play. So I haven't felt the need to go up to PC yet. But if that were to happen in the next few years, say right around the time this is going to be end up mandatory next year anyway, I think this just sold me an HTC Vive. For sure.
Yeah.
Not me.
If you're not going
I'm not
to any of the platforms,
of them.
Well, you know.
I get to save that money. La, la,
but
la,
I don't know.
La.
I don't know if I'm going to be getting it anytime soon. I mean, honestly, I don't VR
enough. Actually, I think we
enough.
Have one somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about Twitch as a platform again. But this one's a little better than the. Well, and again, the last story we talked about, it wasn't even Twitch's fault. Twitch's was just the vehicle for some shady practice. But anyway, this is something Twitch is doing. It's kind of making some tweaks to Twitch drops. So, you know, Twitch drops are when you watch a feed and you get drops. Like, for example, and a big example of this was when Riot Games started using the drops for Valorant, right? So if you watched other people play it, you might get the key for yourself. Yeah, it didn't go like people abused the shit out of that system, right? Running like a 24-hour, just watch me and get the drops thing. So guess what? Twitch is revisiting the drop system a little bit. I got to say, this is a smart response, in my opinion. Developers, not Twitch, but developers are now being given more control over how rewards are handed out. So streamers may have to complete certain in-game events like killing a boss, finding an item, essentially achievement. Achievement unlocked for you and you and you and you. That's what Twitch drops might be turning into a little
you
bit.
You get an achievement and you get an yes. achievement.
You Jeez. Get a, look under your chair. You get an achievement. We all get achievements. All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
That is something they're looking to build that in. So unlock embeds are going to be linked to Twitch's Enhanced Experiences API. So rewards could be when somebody completes a level, or let's say you're the last person standing in something like a Fall Guys or another Battle Royale game. That would be a possibility. So developers can kind of do this as they see fit. And I think that's a great idea because this means if you're going to run a 24/7 stream, you're going to have to actively be playing the game in order to get the drops. And you're going to have to, you know, be really aware of that. And I think that's pretty cool. So anyway, looking forward to seeing how developers embed that in their game later on, in their games, as they choose to do so. Dark Tetsuya says Rogue Company does the Twitch drops thing too. Tell me more. Is that Rogue Legacy 2 or what are they doing? I'd be curious to know how that is being added. And the chat room is noticing right now that Stella has joined Loki on camera there, chilling out on Loki's shoulder there. Yeah, we love to see Stella on air. It's lovely. All right.
Midna's kind of pissed off that I locked her out.
I think Alan either is leaving or just got back, and Mr. Smush is going wild. Oh, he's on his way out. So Mr. Smush is like, wait, before you go, give me more food. So
Smoothie.
All right, let's move on. Darkstalker, I think you said you had to go a little early tonight, and so but I want to squeeze in one more story before you do so, okay?
I guess. So at any rate, now I really should be playing this. My friends have been going nuts about it, but Fall Guys, they have started a Twitter branding bidding war, for charity. And I love the caption on this one. It's got this little pink dude wearing a shirt that says, "Ask me about my butthole."
Oh, did
it's
that?
It's a bidet.
It's
company.
A bidet company. Did they win?
I don't know. It's just the picture that they used. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
So anyway, they're doing a 2-week Battle of the Brands event, and the brand that donates the most to the charity Special Effect would get the tie-in. Right now, their bidding has gone over $130,000.
Oh, wow.
There are all kinds of just hilarity is ensuing. I'll just let you know, but it'll be good to have that marketing and branding go into to something good. You know, have that go in. So right now, one of the highest bidders at the time was the Warframe developers did $20,000, and then Bisect Hosting went to $38,880, and then the new one came up with Sidemen. They're going through it. They bumped it up to $40,000, and then Tushy Bidet, $40,001, and that's where Ask Me About My Butthole came from.
Yep.
And then after that, though, after more fun bidding, G2 Esports went up to $130,003.
Wow.
That's on the second day. So we're about to see this blow up.
Well, and there's been interesting alliances made, too. Like, Ninja teamed up with somebody else, and they made, like, a co-bid or something. So it's pretty cool. I hope the bidet company wins. I really do. But I think it's great that it's for charity, and especially when you have a game and a developer like the folks behind Fall Guys, like this is, you know, they're all the rage right now. They're one of the top games on Twitch. They have this peak popularity going on right now, and they're riding that wave, and like everybody wants to be a part of it because it is so popular. The fact that they're riding that wave for charity when Burger King probably called them already, offering them $5 to put the skin in the game. I think it's pretty cool that they're using this as a way to generate money for charity. So, kudos to them. And Fall Guys is Darkstalker. You absolutely should check it out. I think one of the great things about it is it's a game you can really play in small bites. Because, yes, it's a battle royale kind of game, but it's not a shooty, shooty, bang, bang. It's a platformer. So it plays a lot differently. And it's something where it's like you can play it and you might be out of it in 30 seconds and like, oh, well, I guess that's enough for today. Or, you know, God damn it, I'm going to play until I get the fucking crown. And then you play for 8 days straight like that one streamer did.
Oh, hell no.
I don't think it was really it wasn't like 24/7, but I remember there was some clip floating around of some guy who finally won a match after like 8 days, and the whole internet was so excited.
Yeah, and they were giving him shade too on the actual official Twitter account. I think was giving him shade on it as well, so that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so I went ahead and put Fall Guys in my my wish list on Steam, so yay. Oh, I'm putting it in there now.
So ActDev, I think this is brilliant. ActDev says it's like the Mario Party mini games, but with more people. That's a damn good way of putting it. That is a damn good way of putting it. Marissa Mizell in chat, hello, my dear, says, I love Fall Guys.
I like Fall Guys too.
That's when me and Delvin get on stream and play Fall Guys together and start screaming. That's Fall Guys. I love Fall Guys, and usually games like that stress me out too much. This is just silly fun.
Put it in my wish list. Why aren't you letting me put you on my wish list?
DJ Rama S says,
buy it for me.
Well, if you have PlayStation 4 and you have PlayStation Plus, it's free on PS Plus right now. So you wouldn't even have to.
Right now?
The way you just did that was iconic. You sat up in your seat, flicked your hair, and went, bitch, yeah.
But I was like, right now, so this isn't like a permanent thing. It's going to go back to pay.
Yeah, it's only for this month, so you don't have a lot of time left. So.
Yeah, and I really need to get back into the Steamy stuff so that I can stream it a little bit better.
Yeah, that'd be fine. So. All right, Well, before we say goodbye to you, Dark Sakura, do you have any final thoughts or anything for our audience tonight?
I want wig suggestions, all right? I want to see some wig suggestions. What kind of wig do you think I should get next? Because I'm going to be weeding out some wigs, and if some of y'all want Jamie wigs, I will clean those bitches and send them to you.
I want to see, and hear me out, please, I want to see a wig from the wig party, meaning like 1800s sign in, you know, or I guess 1700s sign in the Declaration of Independence realness.
I look like I have time to powder a wig?
I will say Annie Lennox pulled that type of look off beautifully in one of her music videos. So,
no, she did. The one for Why, right?
Yeah, I think it was Why. Or maybe Walking on Broken Glass.
No, Walking on Broken Glass was the one. Yeah.
So
I love Annie Lennox. She is a goddess and a diva.
Any decent person does. I don't know how else to put it. Like, there's just certain people where it's like, who on earth would hate this person? And Annie Lennox is one of them. Of course, I know. I'm just inviting somebody in chat to say, I'm not a fan.
Well, you can keep your wrong opinion to yourself.
Exactly. If you're not an Annie Lennox fan, how about you just shut up? How about you just shut up?
Look, every gamer has a voice, but not you. Actually, I did want to bring up one more little thing, and I don't really know if y'all talked about it last week, but it just was a cute thing.
Sure.
Is that Taiwanese IKEA catalog done all in Animal Crossing?
I don't think we ended up addressing that, no.
It is cute as hell, and I really want it, but I just think that it's something that made me just happy to see, and I'll post the link to it in the chat room, but y'all look up the Taiwanese IKEA Animal Crossing book. It's super adorable. They did a really great job trying to make things match up. They even have the captions and everything. It's ridiculously cute.
The scroll bar on Twitch is perfection right now. It just scrolled that story by on the bottom as you're talking about it. Perfect.
What?
Yeah. This thing is like all automated too. That's pretty stunning. Awesome.
That's pretty sweet. So yeah, there you go. It's adorable. Look at the adorable things. And, you know, hey, if anyone of y'all is still playing Animal Crossing, hit me up for my friend code if you don't have it. I'm ready to start.
When are we doing our Animal Crossing show? When are we doing our Animal Crossing Lounge Radio?
Girl, I need to figure out my streaming setup because I think it's actually something more just because my Mac is an older Mac.
I'll stream on, and you just join me on Discord like you do now, and I'll go to your town or something. You can show that off.
All right, we'll do it.
Okay, Animal Crossing Lounge Radio coming soon to VOG, on a completely irregular schedule, on a completely when we feel like it schedule, because that's the only way it's gonna fly. So,
I will wish you all well. Wear your mask, social distance, be safe, be careful, be healthy, and I hope to see you all next week.
All right, we'll see you next time, Dark Sakura. Have a great night.
Later, taters.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
And don't forget to wash your hands. Very good comment from No One Special.
Do the hand washing. Yeah.
All right. All right. So Dark Sakura is out. Let me fix the cameras there. Ta-da. All right. Let's move on. We have just a few more stories for you guys. Then we need to get to the listener roundtable. So Loki with a follow-up to some big stuff from last week.
Yeah. Let's talk about Epic and Apple. So there's still a lot of drama there, unfortunately. So, of course, you may remember last week, Fortnite was taken off of. Oh, someone wants to get down.
Oh, Stella was like, "You're talking about this bullshit. I'm out."
It's like, nope. I draw the line here. Okay.
If blessed Shermie, wherever Shermie the cat may be, were still with us, that would have been Shermie's opportunity to just poo on the floor.
Thank goodness she doesn't do that. So, anyways. So apparently, may remember that, you know, Fortnite was taken off of the app, the iOS store and the Android store, or I'm sorry, the Google Play store.
Yep.
And, of course, there's a lawsuit against, Apple about the whole thing as well. So kind of moving forward with that, shortly after that, Epic's developer tools have been removed as well for Fortnite, and that's also restricted access to make updates as well for Unreal Engine. And so that's caused, you know, a lot of problems. So, of course, Epic has asked the court to prevent Apple from doing that, and they filed an injunction for that. But not sure where that... So far, that hasn't been revoked yet, so we'll have to see if they restore their access to that. But right now, they haven't done anything.
It's almost as if you play with fire and you might get burned.
Exactly. So then, of course, now because they filed this whole lawsuit, all this stuff is now public information. And so we get to see some of the details about how we got to this point in the first place. So it appears that originally there was Tim Sweeney had reached out to Apple execs to try to let his company bypass their payment system. And they said no. And
put that way nicer than he did.
He basically said, well, I'm going to do it anyways. And they're like, goodbye.
I'm going to be very blunt. Those emails from Tim Sweeney look like they were written by whatever press relations department North Korea uses when talking about their weapons arsenal. That is how that letter basically read, is that, you know, you will rise to the mighty. Okay, maybe it wasn't that bad, but that's how it was like reading to me. It was like, my God. He's just making all these demands for what? And what are you going to give? You know, like it just seems so shady.
It is. So it's interesting, though, that he would want somebody to bypass their payment system to basically bypass their whole marketplace, but yet be available on their devices. But at the same time, like, I can't put a game on his store and, like, bypass their payment system. I can't pay him less money because I just feel like I want to do that. I don't know. I have a hard time, you know, seeing the logic here where they're the victim. But to still play the victim, though, of course, they have, you know, they're still doing their campaign, their social campaign to try to get people to, you know, put pressure on Apple and stuff. And I see this they have a nice little photo here of a hat that's parodying Apple as well. I don't know. Basically, they're saying it's this whole, it looks like they're doing a competition right now for this free Fortnite cup, which is apparently was today.
It's just a ridiculous PR thing, whatever.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it's dumb.
And plus, I need to be able to say this because I love tooting my own horn when I'm right. I mean, I don't like being right all the time, but I can't help it. No, I get a lot of things wrong, too. But last week I was right because I said, what is the whole motivation for this? Why is Epic doing this? What is the this isn't about. I said this isn't about Fortnite. This is about Epic wanting the Epic Game Store on iOS. And sure enough, what was in those court filings? A reference to Epic and wanting to do their own store on iOS. And that thing is locked and loaded and ready to go. And if Epic prevails in this whole thing, that is exactly what they're going to want to launch. And I just, you know, and I'm just defer to what I said last week. Epic needs to fix their fucking problems on PC first before they jump into iOS. And you know what? You might not be an Apple fan, and that's fine. But where this goes, what about Nintendo? What about Sony? What about Microsoft? Because if Epic literally shoehorns their way on iOS in this regard, it's going to happen on game consoles as well. You better believe
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause you can't make the argument that, well, it's, these are closed platforms and anybody can, you know, be allowed to do it. But I think that these are private companies. I don't understand why I would love to see competition.
They signed an agreement they don't like, and now they're trying to say that it's unfair and all this other stuff. Like, I understand if they have issue with Apple's 30% cut or whatever, and they want to negotiate a better deal, but that's the key term there is negotiate. And everything I said last week about the thing, whether you like it or not, with Apple's platform, about how they quality review all the apps, even the free ones that make no money to Apple or the developer, they review those too. whether you like it or not, like, that stuff doesn't pay for itself. So they're going to take a cut somewhere. And Epic badly wants to undercut them. I'm telling you. I am 100% right on this. Epic wants to undercut them, and they're going to leverage their Unreal Engine to do it. I see the end of this coming. So, like, if you're going to root against Apple because you think Apple has too much control or Apple calls all the shots, wake up. Epic is trying to position themselves to do the same thing. If Epic really wants that, though, you know what they should do? Make their own fucking phone.
Well, and on top of that, though, like, I get that with on the Apple side of the house, but then they did the same thing on the Google Play Store. And if you look at there, that's kind of a different scenario because they could, in a sense, put out their own storefront. Sure, you'd have to sideload it, but you can do that. You could put out your own storefront and have your own purchasing stuff and have it completely bypass everything. But you can't advertise it on the Google Play Store. You can't have, like, it's, you know, be on there just to, you know, download that and load it in and then just pay directly to Epic. You can't do that. So you got to play by their rules if you want to be on their storefront. Just the same as if I would put something on Epic's storefront, I have to play by their rules in order to do that. I can't just say, well, you know, I don't know if they charge. See, that's the thing with Epic. I don't know if they charge for, like, you know, a cut of any of the DLC and stuff like that. But let's just say that they do, because it would make sense that they did. But say I wanted to sell that stuff directly to my users instead, and I didn't want them to take a cut of that. Well, I'm sure they wouldn't be happy about that. So it's exact same thing. Sorry, but not sorry.
Yeah.
You have to abide by those rules to be on that storefront. And I'm sorry that you're upset that you can't be on iOS devices.
Now, yeah, and look, and I said this on last week's show, like, yes, I'm firmly on Apple's side in this particular debacle as I'm wearing my AirPods and streaming this show from my Mac Mini. But guess what? Tim Sweeney tweets from his iPhone. So, you know what? But I don't believe Apple is, and I want to make this clear, I don't believe Apple is right on everything. For example, the streaming and the cloud stuff and them holding back the xCloud app. That is wrong, and they need to allow those apps because they allow, if they allow Netflix, if they allow CBS All Access and those streaming apps to exist, they ought to be able to allow the gaming apps as well. I do believe that will work itself out in time. It's just a little slower because it's somewhat of a newer concept. Separate issue. This Epic thing has, because I see some people confusing this on Twitter a little bit too. This Epic thing has nothing to do with the cloud streaming stuff. Not a thing. This is about the Apple in-app store model. And honestly, I think, and somebody will have to refresh my memory because I honestly don't recall, whatever happened with Sony and the other OS when they removed that from the console, did the court side? Because wasn't there a class action? Or I think it might have been settled.
Yeah, we got a check in the mail.
So it was, but it was settled, not legally decided, right? Because I feel like the precedence is in that case.
Yes. I think it was settled. I was going to mention, though, kind of going back to the story there, Microsoft had also filed a declaration in support of Epic's case against Apple because, as I mentioned, with the developer access being removed, the Unreal Engine support and the ability to develop for that has been kind of harmed as well. So, you know, they have games that use the Unreal Engine, and because of that, you know, that hurts not only them, but, like, even indie developers who use the Unreal Engine for...
I feel like Dear Leader Sweeney sent Microsoft an email that... I doubt it was a bullying email, but it was probably one of those, if Apple pulls us from the... attention, developers, if Apple's looking... They're recruiting people to do their dirty work, and Microsoft fell for it. That is my opinion on this, in this particular case. And Phil Spencer, God bless him, he's done great things for Xbox. He fell for this one because Epic is recruiting people to do their dirty work and sent out an email. I bet you, sent out an email that says, if Apple does this, we're no longer going to be able to support you after such and such date. So we can't guarantee that your money-making brand new Forza app you just put out is going to be able to make money because Apple's mean.
Well, I think, though, that they may have also a vested interest because they're trying to get, you know, the game streaming as well on the iOS, you know, platform. But I don't think they didn't necessarily come out and say that. Yeah, I don't think that. Well, obviously, their negotiations for that type of stuff is probably a little bit more nuanced than, say, what Tim Sweeney did. But I don't know. I'm just going for the whole thing to play out. I don't play Fortnite on iOS anyway, so.
Bobby said the Microsoft thing was actually about Epic losing access to the developer tools, not about Fortnite. But those things are still hand in hand because they wouldn't have lost access to developer tools. They hadn't pulled this stunt with Fortnite. Now,
I'm surprised. Like, I would love to know what, like, you know, well, Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo think about
The chat is already typing a comment. I just want to say, like, I don't know if Apple will hold firm to that. I think there's a very, and I don't know, but I think there's a very distinct possibility if the pressure from Microsoft and these other companies does anything, it will probably put a stay on this developer tool issue until they work out their other stuff. But Fortnite, I don't expect to come back until there's a settlement. Because it won't be decided by court. There's going to be a settlement. I don't know. Well, I don't know. It depends what kind of hardball Apple wants to play here. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
And Bobby in chat is talking about how people are – this is an – Epic maybe potentially saw an opportunity here to dogpile on Apple. But I'm paraphrasing. Dogpile on Apple because they were already weakened by the xCloud argument on this. And that's why I'm going out of my way to say these are separate issues. And is it okay to say, Apple, I don't think this is a good look, but I think this, you're doing okay. Two different things. So, all right. Djarama S says, Apple does have a monopoly on the App Store, so also not surprised. What about Nintendo? What about Microsoft? What about Sony? Same thing,
yeah,
right?
Technically true. It's technically true that they have, you know, the monopoly there, unless they're counting like retail sales, because you can buy code sometimes at retail for those things. But I don't think so. But yeah, it's the same thing. And like, and I would worry that, like, why is Apple any different when it comes to, you know, what's going to make them not try to do the same thing for consoles? I'm guessing because more of the market share is there, maybe they're making more money from there. I don't know, but like, yeah, it's weird to see them try to burn bridges like that. Cause I mean that you know, you have to work with all these other people, like in these other companies, and they see you doing this and it's like, I don't know, they'd be less likely to want to work with you, yeah. You know, and that kind of talk was also going to, that's the kind of thing talk that gets you bought by Apple too.
Yeah, it's true. Weren't they just valued as like a $2 trillion company this week or something? Was in the news. VG Realness says, I don't know why Apple can't offer a lower percentage cut but offer zero advertising in their apps. You know, that was one place that I suggested a settlement could happen last week, sort of. I said, what if they could maybe allow the in-app purchasing off the store or whatever, but now Apple is going to charge them every time they want to do a review. Every time you want to do a patch, every time you're going to put a new thing on the store because you're circumventing our store, we're now going to charge you. And I would bet, even if Epic is victorious in this, that doesn't mean Apple doesn't immediately change their terms to say, all right, then we're going to get our money this way.
Being victorious. I'm pretty sure other companies are trying to do the same. And like, it's not going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah. I think Epic is fighting a losing battle here. And I think part of them kind of knows it. And that's why they're recruiting the internet to help them out. So, because they want to convict in the court of public opinion.
The only way I could see like something happening where they could possibly get by with multiple storefronts is if they use the precedent set by where Microsoft had to, although they do have Internet Explorer like preloaded in there, but they couldn't, it was something to do with their web browser. Like they couldn't have like other stuff preloaded on there. They had to give you the option to be able to not use it or something, but I don't remember the details. But I know that there's been precedents set with some of those types of cases, antitrust stuff, but I don't think this is going to get that far. I think they're just going to say, nope, sorry.
And the reality,
you agreed to those rules, too bad.
The reality is a lot of us have passionate opinions on this particular topic. I have my opinions. Every single one of you in chat have your opinions. Loki has his opinion. The reality is none of it's going to matter. This is going to be decided by either a settlement. I would say 90% likely a settlement because that's how they always go. Or it'll be decided by a court. And let's be real. What happens in both of those places never makes sense. Well, sometimes makes sense. But it's probably not going to make sense to any of us. And that's that. So, all right. We'll see what develops next. I don't think this story is going away anytime soon. We'll see, especially with the deadline for the kit and all that coming up next. All right. Let's move on. We have a couple or just one more quick story for you, and then we're going to get to the listener roundtable in our mailbag for tonight. So getting to this story about Nintendo coming to Brazil. That's right. Officially. Now, of course, you know, we've heard about stories on the show before about how you can get video game consoles in countries where they're not officially supported, but that can be very, very expensive to do. So it could be very exciting news if you live in Brazil to hear that Nintendo is coming back. Now, Nintendo was in Brazil up until about 5 years ago. Nintendo's going to be debuting the Switch officially in Brazil because they left the country about 5 years ago. And Nintendo of America made a tweet saying, "Greetings to all the Brazilian Nintendo fans out there. We're excited to announce that the Nintendo Switch will be coming soon to Brazil." So that's pretty exciting. As a reminder, Nintendo had originally pulled out in 2015 because of high tariffs on imported products. But now, you know, people are wanting a Switch and so forth. So, yeah, the Brazil, by the way, the fourth largest gaming market in the world. Did you know that? Do you know who the top three are? Do you know who the top three are? Because it would surprise you. I don't know 1, 2, 3, but the other three are the U.S., China, and India, not Japan. You would have thought, but certainly consider the populations of China and India, and that would certainly, there is a lot of people in both those places, and that would explain why those are also very, very big markets. So Brazil, the fourth largest market for games, Nintendo Switch finally officially making its way there. So congrats. All right.
Cool.
Moving on, let's get to, I think that's kind of a dumb question. I was going to say I'm going to ask ACDEFT because I know him being in Mexico, he sometimes has problems with importing and stuff like that. But I guess it's probably going to be easier still to get products from the U.S. than it would be to get stuff from Brazil because Brazil's further. So I'm just not sure if maybe that would improve the situation by giving other, you know, countries on this hemisphere of the planet. But probably not. All right. Anyway, let's get to the listener roundtable. I'm going to come back to an answer if I see one. Meanwhile, we already have some questions coming in from chat. If you have any questions you want to ask us, you can go ahead and ask away in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And I'll be getting to – we have one email tonight I will get to here shortly. First off, though, a question from no one special in our chat who asks, if you could open up an arcade, what games would you include? And would it be a straight-up arcade, a barcade, or a pizzeria arcade combo? Well, in my opinion, the Round One chain has things set up pretty good. You know, they have the Japanese games that are relevant to my interests, and that's the type of thing I'd love to have in my arcade. I would have more pinball than Round One has. I could do without the bowling and some of the stuff they do at Round One. It's just not really for my type of place. And also, Round One has a lot of those ticket redemption machines. I'm not big fans of those, but I'm also not an idiot. Like, here's the return question I would have. Is this arcade supposed to make money? Yes or no? Because if the arcade's supposed to make money, I'm going to have those ticket spitters because they make money. If my arcade doesn't need to make money, then I don't need as many of them. So, I'm going to answer for Loki. I'm using my powers of mind reading. Loki is going to simply open a Qzar. Am I right?
That's not really. Yeah, I mean, I guess, sure, why not? That's neither of the options that was provided. I mean, I'm going to have to go to a pizza place, obviously. Pizza arcade, if we're going to have to do something like that. And creepy, creepy, creepy animatronics.
Yes, that's a must. That sing every hour.
We're going to make them sing those songs this time because, you know, why not? Actually, that'd be really cool. Like some pretty awesome animatronics, especially nowadays. You know, animatronic technology has really progressed.
It's
really expensive.
I want to license Five Nights at Freddy's and have a legit scary food chain. You know, there'd be a market for that, and no fucking kids would go. Well, some might, but that would be amazing. Is that like, let's go to the murder pizzeria.
or what if you did like, you know, you did like a pizza place with an arcade, you know, themed after Freddy Fazbear with an escape room.
Ooh.
With horror elements.
Ooh. That sounds, although pizza and alcohol, greasy fingers and alcohol are a dangerous combo for escape rooms. That's for sure. By the way, we have an answer from Act Deft. Well, sort of, I'll get back to you later, because Act Deft says, I really need to send you an email pretty much talking about the current video game situation in Mexico. In summary, we're getting taxed to hell and back. So it sounds like what was happening in Brazil for the last few years. In short, sounds like it. But I always welcome the emails. I love the perspectives from other countries around the world, because I think so many people listening to this show, even if it, like U.S., Canada, England, or, you know, whatever country, Japan, wherever you're in, you tend to forget about the world sometimes outside of that bubble. And so it's, I find these types of stories fascinating, what some gamers go through just to play their fucking game. You know, it's pretty crazy. SG100 Matt kind of piggybacks on that and says, South America is very hard to get games there. I heard from someone in Argentina that they had to spend $1,500 to just get a console out there because of tariffs and other taxes. Jesus. Just let me buy one for you and sneak it in my suitcase. God damn. That's crazy. All right. Anyhow, let's get to the email, which I will do from my phone because I neglected to bring it up on the screen. So let's get to it. This email tonight comes to us from YYR. We always love hearing from YYR. It's a long email tonight, but that's okay. Hello, LR. Please forgive the length of this email. Forgiven. I've been catching up on episodes, and of course, I found a few things to chime in on. By the way, the title of this email is Rapid Fire Responses. Rob, thank you for plugging Sharpshooter Plus once again. And Loki, thanks for playing Pixel Poops on your Vita. You're welcome. You just got another plug. How about that?
I didn't play it on my Vita, though.
Oh, no.
That's right. I have been playing it this week, though. I have been playing it on PC.
Okay. Well, that's you know what? There. As long as you're playing the game, I don't think YYR cares where you're playing it. All right. A few weeks back, Rob said that he felt we've basically reached the pinnacle of video game graphics. I, too, once felt this way. It was back when the original Quake came out, and I thought, that's it. We have real 3D now. All we have to do is increase the resolution. Clearly, there was more to do back then, around 20 years ago. If you want my honest opinion, there's still more to do. And 20 years from now, things will look amazing compared to now. Yeah, I mean, I kind of think we've plateaued a little bit right now. But that's not to say there won't be other advancements in the future. And what have we always said about gaming on this show? One step closer to the holodeck. And I think that's, I think maybe for two-dimensional images, we've gotten about as far as it feels like we're going to go right now. But we're going to have things that continue to move forward, like VR and AR. And I really think what pushes graphics forward is going to come from those two places a little more than it is your traditional living room devices. And again, those devices are pushing things forward too. It's just, it feels like the jump maybe isn't as big as it was in those eras you were talking about. But yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I played Mario Brothers 2 on my NES. I was like, this is like a cartoon. I'm playing a cartoon. This is crazy, right? Because the graphics in Mario 2 were on fire. So especially that ending where you had like cartoon Mario in the bed. I mean, spoiler alert for a 30-year-old game, but it looked like a fucking cartoon. It was a trip. All right. Anyway, Rob expressed disappointment that new Bomani games on PC never seem to come to North America. If you want my opinion, here's the likely reason it's not happening in two words: music licensings. My counter opinion to that opinion would be, why do you need Konami originals? But I get your point. Like, I'm not dismissing your point. But let's not forget, they did release Konomics over here for a reason, because you don't have to worry about licensing fees in that department. In last week's discussion, disappointment was expressed because it appears that neither PS5 nor XSX will have great launch lineups. But is that really anything new? I would argue that no PlayStation has ever had a great launch lineup, and that Xbox hasn't had one since the 360. So this is probably not going to affect their long-term numbers much. I would agree with you on that. Like, what did the PlayStation 2 have going for it? Fantavision, which there's going to be a million people that pipe up and say, I fucking love Fantavision. Okay, that's fine, but let's be real. It wasn't...
I love Fantavision.
I know! Okay, we get it. You like Fantavision.
We had it on the stream the other day.
But
it wasn't
exactly that launch title.
No, it wasn't. I rented that game, too, so yeah. That wasn't necessarily... Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Loki lamented the fact that Xbox One controllers still use AA batteries. Well, I'm glad they do, because at least in my eyes, they are far superior to built-in rechargeable batteries. I purchased rechargeable AA batteries and a charger, and I always have a pair of charged batteries ready to go. When they die, I spend 30 seconds swapping batteries, and I'm playing again. I never have to wait, I never have to find a charging cable, and I never ever have to plug the controller in. And if the batteries stop holding a charge in the future, replacing them is simple. I fail to see how a built-in battery is better.
I mean, like, look at the Switch. I hate to say that, but look at the Switch and the Joy-Cons. I mean, they're always charged. I never have to worry about it because when I dock the thing, it's charging them, and it's never a problem. And let's say that one of those batteries craps out. I've taken apart the Switch Joy-Cons. It's cake to replace that battery. Mm-hmm. It's like 5 minutes at most, and the part, I think, is probably about $10. So, I mean, I don't know. I would rather have the built-in rechargeable battery.
I will say AA batteries last forever, though, more so than the recharge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you make it to the point, like, because, I mean, granted, I'm thinking back to, like, the Xbox 360 and those things sucked battery powers, like, actually, even before that, the Wii remotes, those things ate batteries for breakfast. Whereas now I'm sure there's a lot more power-saving stuff that they can do to those controllers that make them last a little longer. So I don't know. I can't really judge because I don't own an Xbox One controller. So I can't say how long those batteries last. But
they last a while. I have one.
Even the option that they had with, like, the Xbox 360 where I could plug in a rechargeable battery pack that's sold by Microsoft that I can just charge up that way if I wanted to. I have, like, having the flexibility there, but...
Say you're thinking of the environment. Just say that.
Sure. Thinking of the environment.
All right. Moving on to the last point here. Finally, I'm going to say that I completely agree with your assessment of the Epic versus Apple thing that's happening right now. I try to be impartial whenever possible, and as a developer, I honestly feel that some of Apple's policies are a royal pain in the ass. But in my opinion, there's just no defending Epic here. Epic cries and cries about the 30% cut, but here's the thing. In the documents Apple has filed, they reveal they're getting about 100,000 app submissions, app and update submissions per week, every single week. Review of these submissions is not automated. Each one of these is reviewed by a living, breathing human person. Not to mention, Apple also provides developer support, tools, hosting, distribution, maintenance, and probably more than we don't even consider, all for zero out-of-pocket costs to developers. All of the salaries...
I would say one thing I really wish that they would fix if we're opening up everything is the fact that you have to have a Mac to develop on any of the Apple platforms is kind of lame. That's all.
Okay, and I just got a notice that my little earbuds are about to die. So anyway, I guess this is my first show I'm doing
just switch out the AA batteries in them.
Yeah, I know, right? I thought I could get through all 3 hours with them, but maybe not. So I might have to switch to something more old school here. Luckily, I have the old school stuff standing by just in case this should happen. Anyway, let me finish the email here, though. If the 30% I lost my place. Damn it. Oh, 100,000 app and update submissions per week, every single week. Review of these submissions is not automated. Each one of these is reviewed by a living, breathing human person. Not to mention, Apple also provides developer support, tools, hosting, distribution, maintenance, and probably more that we don't even consider, all for zero out-of-pocket costs to developers. All of the salaries that go to staff supporting this stuff come right out of that 30% cut. Apple also claims that up to 80% of the apps on the store are 100% free with no in-app purchases. Apple doesn't make a dime on any of these. They still support them, though, and for free. One moment, please, while I switch this out. Loki, buy me time.
All right. Well, since we're buying time, let's talk a little bit about Fall Guys. So Fall Guys, so I completely lost track. Gamescom's this week, so we have that to look forward to. So they're going to have their opening night stream on August 27th, and apparently they're going to show off Fall Guys Season 2 content at 11 a.m. Pacific. So tune in to check that out. I'm just going to tune in and check out all the trailers because I love that kind of stuff. And apparently if you want Fall Guys on mobile, well, you're in luck if you're in China, because they're going to be releasing the game over there at some point. It's being developed now by Bilibili. They've secured the rights to publish a mobile version of the game, which is funny because this is right after Fall Guys' official Twitter has been talking about how there's scams about mobile versions of Fall Guys, talking about how they're literally just pretending to play a game and you can see the mouse pointer on the screen and stuff like that. So a little bit confusing there, but...
Why don't you let Stella play Fall Guys?
She's across the room, like hiding behind a bag, yelling at me for some reason.
She wants you to move the bag. All right. Anyway, I'm back, and I'm ready to finish YYR's email. Sorry, YYR, but you did admittedly have a long email, and the batteries to my headset literally died while I was reading it. Sorry. All right. Anyway, finishing up the thought. If the 30% cut was to go away, the business model would likely need to completely change. Submitting or resubmitting an app, upgrading developer tools, and bandwidth used by customers might all start coming with a cost to developers. This sounds familiar. This would likely wipe out the smallest developers and cause the largest ones to stop releasing free apps. Things would change considerably, and I don't think it would be for the better. Anyway, if you got this far, thanks for reading, and please look forward to an announcement regarding Pixel Poops soon. Yeah, why not? And that is signed, have a great week, Aaron, or YYR. Well, thank you, YYR, for the email. Appreciate it as always. Appreciate your perspective, even when you do disagree. After all, it is the show where every gamer has a voice. And yeah, that Epic Apple thing is sure bringing out a lot of big opinions. But is, like I said earlier, none of us are going to answer this. So, but I think you do bring up a good point. Like, you know, Apple does review a lot of the free apps too. And what's going to happen to them if suddenly there's going to be a cost to review stuff? That's why I think there's maybe going to have to be a little give and take. But we'll see. We'll see. You know, there was that weird story about how Apple had pulled WordPress or something because they thought WordPress was selling outside the app. But I guess they cleared it up. But it wasn't a good story to come. It just gave Epic ammunition is all it did. All right.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's it for the mailbag. If you want to send us an email for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us an email. Loki, did you have any other last-minute stories besides the Fall Guys stuff you snuck in there?
No, I didn't really have anything.
Fair enough. Well, we're almost to 9 o'clock anyway, so I think it's a good time to wrap up. So I want to thank you guys for either downloading our show, listening live, however you participated with Orange Lounge Radio tonight. Thank you so much for being a part of it. We will be back next week to do it all again. We will not be here in 2 weeks. We will have the night off for Labor Day weekend, as we always have, because I'm usually at Dragon Con, and that's going to be the case again this year. I'm just going to be there virtually, and I'm actually doing a panel during the time that Orange Lounge Radio is. I'll give you the rundown on all the panels I'm going to be on next week. Bobby talked about some of it on his show. I just don't have the times in front of me. Oops. But I know I'm going to be on Bobby's panel that is about conversion from audio podcasting to video podcasting, called Video Didn't Kill the Radio Star. I'm going to be on that panel. I'm also going to be on a panel about networking and content networks and what are the advantages and disadvantages of joining a network for your content creation. This is a pretty regular panel. I think Bobby has done this panel before. They do this a lot at Dragon Con. It's an important part of the digital media track, so I'm going to kind of represent us this year, so that's going to be very exciting. And then another panel I'm doing, this one even surprises me that I'm doing it, but it's actually going to be about how educators have had to adapt to technology with what's going on, basically with COVID and everything. And so a lot of the tricks and techniques that we've learned from our digital media creation is coming into education. Now, I think when they originally pitched this panel, it was like high school and grade school teachers that were doing this, because obviously they've gone through quite a change this year. But they posted in the Digital Media Dragon Con Discord and were like, hey, are there any other educators out there that might want to be on this panel? And you guys might not know this, I'm an educator, but not in a grade school, I'm a corporate educator. So I work with corporate training and teaching adults. And we've gone through a lot of changes as well. We teach in classrooms and things like that that we're not able to do right now. So I actually sent a little thing off and I was like, I don't know if this is what you're looking for. And they actually really – they were like, ooh, that's a good perspective. So they actually really welcomed me with open arms. So I'm really excited to be a part of that. So it's going to be a very rare opportunity to hear me talk about my day job and my hobby. And I don't talk about my day job a lot because I like to keep that stuff separated. So this one's going to be a little bit nerve-wracking in some ways, but I think I can represent, I can walk the line and represent both sides fairly. I think it's going to be a very good discussion. So that is, and that I talk a little more about that panel because that is the one that's airing where OLR would be. It's actually like it's 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern on Sunday. So that'll be very interesting. So, all right. Anyway, so I'll go over all that in more detail again next week, but that's Virtual Dragon Con happening in 2 weeks, and there won't be an OLR, and there won't be a Bobby Blackwolf that night either, so VOG is just going to be dark that night. And some of you guys are probably going to be doing stuff for the long Labor Day weekend anyway. However, please remember, COVID isn't gone. Just because you're over it doesn't mean it's gone. So you keep masks, keep social distancing, keep washing your hands, et cetera, listen to scientists, listen to doctors. So anyway, thank you so much for tuning into our show. We will be back next week to do it all over again and talk about the gaming news that comes up this week. I will, with the two-week thing, sorry, I'm thinking aloud here, but and I haven't even talked to Loki and Dark Soccer about this. Even though there's not going to be a live OLR Sunday night, if Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo makes a massive announcement that week, which very well could be possible, we will look at doing a special OLR at some point midweek to wrap up whatever that is, just depending on my co-host availability. But right,
special after school special.
It's going to have to. I mean, that makes sense, right, Loki? Like, I wouldn't want to miss that week, and then that ends up being the week that Sony unveiled their price and date, you know? So we're just so we're not planning a live show, but we might do a mini or something. So just kind of throwing that out there.
A direct.
I guess. Yeah. A direct to answer the direct. All right. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to our show. However you found it or listening live. If you enjoyed the show, help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But in order to put those voices out there, we got to have them here in our chat or in our email bag, on our Twitter at OLR. Tell a friend about the show. Auto hosting on Twitch goes a super long way. That's probably the single most powerful thing you can do. Even if you don't stream yourself, add VOG Network to your auto host list. It goes a long way. Oh, Bobby's pointing out PAX Online is after Dragon Con this year, so that they're not overlapping. That's kind of neat, because usually PAX and Dragon Con overlap. Yeah. All right. I think that's it. We're on our way out. Final thought time. So, Loki, do you have any final thoughts for us tonight?
I'm just going to keep on working on things. So that's it.
Good luck with things. My final thought is I'm going to keep grinding that Yo-Kai Watch event and get my glowy mount. Darn it. Because that's what it's all about, the eternal pursuit of a glowy mount. Thank you so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio tonight and making us a part of your week. Happy gaming. Be nice to each other. Be safe. Be well. Have a great week. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.